ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ കീ ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ കീ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനക്കി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിളിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സവദൂതം ഹരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാൻ സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ സ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേം ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനുവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ സംബന്ധവിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദാം ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദിനതാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാദ് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോ ഗൗരായ തേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ തേ നമ വംശകൽപതരുഭ്യാശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ നമോ മഹാവദാന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായ തേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജേതാം സുരതോപാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനോ ദിവ്യഭൃദ്ധാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാദാ ശ്രീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രഷ്ടാളഭിസേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമേ ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീ പടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനീർഗോപിർഗോപിനാഥാശ്രയേ സ്വനാഹ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരേ പ്രിയേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ So, last Sunday, we saw this verse, Kavim Puranam, the ninth verse, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram, Anuraniyam Smanusmaredhyam, Sarvasya Dadharam Achindya Rupam, Aditya Varnam Tamasaparastad. So, that's what we discussed last Sunday. So then we have started this verse. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye pranam avesha samyak sadam param purusham upaiti divyam. One who at the time of death fixed his life hair between the eyebrows and in full devotion engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what we were talking about. So what was seen in that verse, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram, that gives a what that 8th chapter is indicating to, that Krishna's nature. Kavim Kavi Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Anusmaredhya Sarvasya Dhadharam, Ajindi Rupam, Aditya Varnam, Tamasa Parastad. These are all the ways to explain that truth. Krishna is spoken in this way, and in the next verse, how the yogis go into that. Prayana Kale. Prayana Kale means the ultimate journey. That means death. Ultimate journey means death. Prayana Kale means death, at the time of death. That means you have packed everything ready to go. So what have you packed? All the vasanas you have created in this life. You have packed everything and you are ready to leave the body. And so that's what is called prayana kalam. Prayana kale, ultimate journey, after you have packed everything, that means all the vasanas you have packed together and then you have started your journey. When you start your journey, achalena manasa, Krishna says there, prayana kale achalena manasa, isn't it? That means your mind is not moving. The mind which does not prayana kali manasa achalena. Achalena manasa means with a mind that does not flicker anymore. It does not flicker anymore. Bhaktya yukta. Bhaktya yukta means bhaktya yukta here. What it means is that one point fixed mind. Which does not flicker anymore in that way. Then yoga balena chaiva. Yoga balam. Yoga balam means the whatever practices of your yoga system, whether whatever yoga you have practiced in this world in your life, bhakti yogam or jnana yogam or raja yogam or ashtanga yogam, whatever that you have practiced here, that is what it is. प्रयाणकाले मनसा चलेन भक्त्यायुक्तो योगबलेन चैव भक्त्यायुक्तो योगबलेन चैव प्रयाणकाले मीन्स् मरणकाले अट् द टैम् आफ् डेथ् मनसा अचलेन चलनवर्जितेन दट् मीन्स् विदौट् द मैण्ड् फ्लिकरिङ्ग् एनि मोर् मैण्ड् नाट् थिङ्किङ्ग् अबौट् एनि नो अदर् थाट्स् कमिङ्ग् थ्रू द मैण्ड् भक्त्यायुक्तो भजनं भक्ति तया युक्तो योगबलेन योगस्य बलं योगबलं तेन दट् मीन्स् द स्ट्रेङ्ग्त् आफ् दि स्ट्रेङ्ग्त् वाट् यु हेव् अचीव्ड् थ्रू दि योग प्रोसेस् वाट् यु हेव् फालोड् इन् दिस् लैफ् समाधिजं संस्काररूपजयजनि रुचि तत्तस्थैर्यलक्षणं योगबलं तेन च युक्त इत्यर्थः इट् मेन्शन्स् हियर् दट् समाधिज संस्कार प्रजयजनितचित्तं स्थैर्यलक्षणं योगबलं तेन च युक्त इत्यर्थः इन् अदर् वर्ड्स् if you have practiced a particular yoga system seriously, from that practice of yoga system, the mind has come under complete control and a devotion has developed towards the truth, towards the truth, towards Krishna. And that state is called samadhi, samadhi state. That samadhi state, from that samadhi state, a steadiness comes, sthirada. Samadhi, sthirada. Chitta, sthairyam. Sthairyam means sthirada. That means not wavering anymore. The mind is not wavering anymore. And one has to be situated in that platform at the time of death. At the time of yoga balam, tenaja yukta ityartaha. That is the power of the yoga system. Remember, we talked before also that every action in this life, what we have done throughout life, first thing, it creates a chittavritti inside, just like a straight line. It creates a small impression inside. When it becomes continuous, that chittavritti, it turns into samskaram. It becomes what is known as samskaram. When that samskaram also gets stronger in a person, it becomes vasana. It becomes vasana. Once it has become vasana, it has got life in it. Then you can't do anything about it. If it has become a vasana, it has got life. That means it has to happen. So, up to the point when it is a chittavritti, if one can complete control over it, then it's good. But even if it is a samskaram, if one knows that and he can come out of it due to cultivating good spiritual austerities and sadhanas, everything, if he comes out of it, it's good. But if it has become a vasana, then it is difficult to come away from that. Once it has become vasana, then the vasana will remain. Then it will happen sometime or the other. Vasana, because it has got life in it, it will come out in some form. That's very difficult to go away from there. So, therefore, but if the mind is absorbed in bhakti process and samadhi state, that samskaram, if it has created a spiritual culture, a spiritual samskaram inside, then that will also lead to steadiness of the chittam. Chittavritti won't go happen at the time of death. And yoga balam, that's what Krishna is saying here, that bhaktya yukto yoga balena cheva. That yoga balam means that due to cultivation or culturing spiritual life throughout his lifetime in this world, if a person becomes master control on his mind and the mind is not unnecessarily wavering and wandering over to all sorts of places, that means it has become steady inside. So that's what he's saying there. If that happens, then samadhi, practice of samadhi is this, that by practicing what we have discussed before about that awareness, what we have, conscious of that, and bringing every time when a thought comes, taking that thoughts back to the place where it's coming from and making that thought to disappear there, that is a samadhi state, samadhi experience. Doing like that, its case that bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. In other words, if that practice has gone on for a longer period of time, that normally, that means normally, just like normally we are in the bodily concept of life, isn't it? Sharira Abhimanam. That is all the time in us at the moment. It's there all the time in us. The bodily concept or the bodily identification is already there. In a similar way, due to the practice of yoga system, if we become similarly trained our mind, that it will not go back into this bodily identification and able to hold on to the process what we have spoken before, what Krishna has spoken before, based on the last verses. And when Krishna says Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, due to that practice of Abhyasam, Chitta Sthairya Lakshanam Yoga Balam. Then by doing that, at some point we have come out of the grip of the body, from the grip of the body, due to the strength of the mind, due to the strength of the mind, we have come out of the grip of the body. So due to that power of that, it mentions that Yoga Balena Chaiva, then Bhakti Ayukto Yoga Balena Chaiva. Bruvor madhye pranam aveshya samyak satam param purusham upaidi divyam. Bruvor madhye pranam aveshya samyak. So due to that power of yoga balam, vashikritya chittam, purvam hridaya pundarike vashikritya chittam, tata urdhva gaminyam nadhyam bhumi jaya kramena bruvor madhye pranam aveshya. Now this process what is spoken here is a combination of Ashtanga Yogam and Jnana Yogam and Bhakti all together. Practicing a spiritual process, what we talked about, that completely absorbing in the control of the false ego, the Jiva Ahanda goes away by inquiring after Aham, who this Aham Asmi, isn't it? That awareness that's coming from the from that hole Krishna spoke about, which is called Hrita. Hrita is the place on the right hand side, a couple of inches above our stomach, on the right hand side, not on the left hand side, on the right hand side. We have to imagine a place where Krishna is saying, where the Jiva takes birth. Remember that? Sa esha Jivo vivara prasudi, that verse. So this place called Hrita is an important place in spiritual life. It may appear imaginary at the moment, but we have to imagine that place for the moment because we don't know anything about it. But you will see reference to that place in the Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita everywhere, which is known as Hrita. Hrita means this, Hridayam or Hrita is this, is on the right hand side. In the Bhagavadam, you will see in the beginning, the first words itself, Janmadhese Dhoinvaya Idharadas Charte Shabitnya Swarat Tene Brahma Hrita. That Hrita is here. Brahma Hridaya, not the heart, mechanical heart here. This heart here, what we have to imagine at the moment. We have to imagine that because we don't know about it. But we have to accept that there is a place there. In the Upanishads also mentioned as Hrit. You will also see in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvase Chaham Hridi Sanyivishto, that Hridi, Hrit, that is here. Sarvase Chaham Hridi Sanyivishto. Matasmradhyanam apohanam cha vedeshcha sarve rahameva vedyo vedandavid krita veda videva chaham. That krit, hrit is here. So that hrit is called krit pundarigasham. Therefore, here, hridaya pundarige vashikritya chittam, chitta sthairya lakshanam yoga balam. That power of that yoga balam, if you have practiced the yoga system properly throughout life, and if you have succeeded in that, chittam will become steady, sthairyam, sthirada, sthirada, we're not wavering anymore, chittam. Due to that, yoga balam, hridaya pundarike vashikritya chittam, that mind is hridaya pundarikam, hridaya pundarikam. They call it as hridaya pundarikam means hridaya kamalam or the lotus flower. There is like a lotus flower which is present inside. Then, that like there is a lotus flower there, that is how the yogis execute their yoga process, Ashtanga Yogam, that's how they execute yoga process. So that mind which is present here, the mind is considered to be Hridaya Pundarikam, that lotus flower. And from there, in the Ashtanga Yogam, they call it as Bhumi Jaya Kramena, Bhumi Jayam. Bhumi Jaya means, you know that they have different locations all along their spine, right up to Sahasraram. Beginning with Mooladharam, Swadhishthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddham, Ajna, Sahasraram. They are called Yoga Bhumigas. Yoga Bhumiga means all this. Different chakras are present in these places. And Kundalini Shakti goes through all these different stages, comes to Sahasraram and comes out through that. So, this different chakras, Yoga Bhumigas, and that is in the Ashtanga Yoga process. In the Vedantam also, there is Sapta Bhumis, Bhumiga, they are called Bhumiga. Bhumiga means that you have to reach that state and then you have to get fixed there, only then you can move on to the next one. So, that is the system. Then, Mooladharam, Swadhishthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasraram, all they are Yoga Bhumigas mentioned in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. So, in Vedantam also, in the similar way, there is seven Bhumigas. Seven Bhumigas starts from Shubhecha, Vijarana, Tanumanasi, Asamsakti, Padartha Bhavana, Ityataha. Like that, there are Bhumigas there in the Jnanamargam also, like in the Yoga Margam. So, Yoga Balena Bhumijayam means that Yoga Balena Bhumijayam means exactly what it means is you have to move from one to the next one and get grounded there. When you are grounded there, you can move from one there to the next one. So, that is what they are talking about. Once you are grounded in one plane, then you can move on to the next one. So, just like in the, you know, in the what they do send these satellites and all that to the space, to the rockets. They use the rocket system, isn't it? So there will be first one main rocket and they go along with that. And with the missile, they after particular distance is over, the initial first rocket is released and then another one begins from that, isn't it? So another missile takes over from there, it will take over for the next stage. Next stage. Then from there, another missile takes over and very quickly they'll move long distance. Eventually, they'll get out of the gravitational pull of the earth. That's what happens, isn't it? Very quickly, they'll get out of the gravitational pull of the earth. If you look into how they release the rockets, you can see that it goes in stages, isn't it? Stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, they call it. So, when this one, stage 1 is over, the first rocket is left and the second rocket takes over from there. So, eventually they get out of the pull of the earth, which is the gravitational pull, and like the satellite does. Similarly, Yoga Balam means Bhumi Jayam. That means each stage you are escaping every time and you have to come out of that. And it will take you to the next stage and it will leave you there, and from there you have to go to the another stage after that. Yoga Balena Chaiva, Krishna says here, Yoga Balena Chaiva, Dhruvor Madhye Pranam Avesha Samyak Sadambaram Purusham Upaidi Divyam. Yoga Balena Chaiva. So, in other words, when you are moving through these different chakras towards the final point of Sahasraram, what they refer in the yoga system, when they come to this Ajna Chakram, which is somewhere near the throat, this is in the Ashtanga Yoga. If you look into the Panjali's Yoga Sutra, you will see mentions there. When you get into this Ajna Chakram, mind goes away. There is no more mind after that in the yoga process. Mind doesn't exist. So the place where the mind disappears, that is called the Ajna Chakram. Ajna Chakram, somewhere here it comes. So, they mentions here, if you look into Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, you will see step by step all spoken there. Mooladharam, Swadhishthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddham, Ajna, Sahasraram. That is the different chakras through which the mind, through which the soul passes through. That Chit Shakti we talked about before. Yoga Bhumiga, they are called. So once you have reached that Ajna Chakram, where it comes to the position, at that point the mind goes away. Mind leaves us. Then our desires and our different impressions, sangalpam, imaginations, all these things will go. It won't, once it reaches the Ajna Chakram. Why is it called Ajna Chakram? Because at that point, by Krishna has taken over everything. The Antaryami has taken over everything, and only by his Ajna things. So Ajna means his instruction, things will happen from then on, once it reaches that point. In the Ajna Chakram, when it reaches that Ajna Chakram, that is when this higher power takes control of the situations. Then yogi, after that, he will shoot beyond than that at a certain stage. Krishna is mentioning here, that Parama Purusha Yati, he says here, isn't it? Brivor Madhye Pranam Aveshya Samyak Satam Param Purusha Mupaiti Divyam. That is that Param Purusha Mupaiti. Parama Purusham Upaiti means that. That means that when he reaches the Ajna Chakram, Parama Purusha takes over. Brivor Madhye Pranam Aveshya Samyak Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Divyam. Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Divyam. That from there onwards, the journey is controlled by the Antaryami from inside. Antaryami from inside. You see, in this spiritual journey, up to a certain point, the mind will remain and mind will go after a while when we have reached that particular stage, which is Ajna Chakram, they refer to. Once you reach the Ajna Chakram, the mind leaves. All desires goes. All vasanas, impressions, everything goes away. Whatever that is left, it will go. Provided we have reached there. Once we get to the Ajna Chakram, this is in the Ashtanga Yoga process. The same thing happens in Vedantam in a different way, it's spoken. So here, Krishna has spoken in terms of Ashtanga Yoga. What is spoken in this 8th chapter? Prayanakale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruor madhye pranam avesha samyak stadam param purusham upaidi divyam. That means once we reach from here, then it comes here and then to the Sahasraram. So by the time it reaches here, which is from Ajna Chakram, it comes here, then from then on there is nothing the person has to do anymore. It is taken over by the Antaryami inside, makes the final journey from there to the Sahasraram. So Yoga Balam, according to the Yoga Shastram, you can see this process, Vijara Paddhati, they call it. Vijara Paddhati, you can see there. It is also explained in the Saundari Lahari. It talks about the same thing. In Saundari Lahari, it talks about this. That Mahi Mooladhari Kamapi Manipure Hridavaham Stidam Swadhishtane Hridimaruda Akasha Upadim Manobi Bhrumadhye Sakalamba Bimithwa Kulabhayam Sahasrare Padme Saharakasivasya Viharasem Mahim Mooladhare Kamapi Manipure Kutavaham Hutavaham Stidam Swadhishtane Hridimarudam Akasham Upari Mano Bibhu Madhye Sakalam Abhibhutva Kulapatham Sahasrare Padme Saharakasi Patya Viharasem. These are mostly referring to the yoga process, Ashtanga Yoga process this is. That is why if you read Saundari Lahari, you will see there an explanation to all these things, because half of Saundari Lahari is this Ashtanga Yoga which Patanjali developed, isn't it? So Saundari Lahari, Sri Parvati is the compiler of that. Sri Parvati herself, she gave that, and in there it mentions that that having penetrated the Prithvi element situated in the Mooladharam, Mahi Mooladhare, then the Jalam element in the Manipuragam. So different chakras, different material elements we are breaking away. While in the process of Ashtanga Yogam, forcefully we are breaking away from the control of different material elements inside our body. So having, first thing is the earth. We have to break away from the earthly element. When we break away earthly element means that the earthly elements, it's tanmatra. That is what we break away from. Tanmatra means that normally five material elements are earth, water, air, ether and fire, isn't it? That is what is called the five material elements. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. All these material elements in its subtle form is called tanmatra. The gross form is what we see now. In subtle form, it's called tanmatra. So breaking away from the tanmatra, and that tanmatra is present in the mooladharam. Tanmatra of the prithvi, of earth, is in the mooladharam. Similarly, water element is in the manipuram. Agni or fire element is in the swadhishthanam. And vayu element is in the heart or anahatam. The akasha element above the former in the vishuddhi. And manas or in the ajna between the eyebrows. Ajna chakram, which is in the between the eyebrows. So you can see how the chakras are formed. The chakras are where we break away from the different material elements. Starting from swadhishthanam. Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, then Anahatam, Vishuddhi, Ajna. Ajna, by the time Ajna comes, it is here. In here, Ajna is here. So through seeing the, through the Sushumna or the Kulapath, supports the, it reaches the Sahasraram. Sahasrar means, thousand. Thousand petaled lotus, which is in the, where we break through from the head. That is where it is called Sahasrara. That is what Krishna is speaking about it here in this yoga process. If you want more details, ascending of the Kundalini by meditation through the various chakras to the Sahasraram is what is described in this ninth verse in the Saundarya Lahari. If you look there, you will find it. Mahim Mooladhare Kamapi Manipure Hutam Aham Sthite Swadhisthane Hridi Marida Agasham Upari Manobi Bhrumadhye Sakalamapim Bhitva Kulapate Sahasrare Padme Saharahasi Pathya Viharase. Pathya Viharase. So that that movement that movement which goes from one chakram to another, it is the same thing in the Vedantam also spoken in seven bhumigas. These are called yoga bhumiga. Vedantam, it is called jnana bhumiga. Jnana bhumiga. So, if you, here many verses now is taken from Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. Yoga Sutram has come in. Krishna has taken from there many things. You will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam referring to this. If you do look into the chapter referring to eleventh canto, if you look into the chapter 23, Bhitrugita. If you look into Bhitrugita, that's the same thing that Bhikshu is saying there. Verse 46 in the 11th canto, chapter 23, verse 46. Dhanam swadharmo niyamo yamascha shrutam ja karmani jasal vratani sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi. So when the mind comes to a samadhi state, you should connect all these things together, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, because then you will get a better understanding. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi, he says there. Dhanam sa dharmo niyamo yamascha shrutam ja karmani ja sadvratani sarve mano nigraha ലക്ഷണാന്ത പരോഹി യോഗോ മനസ സമാധീം. സോ ദിസ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് പരോഹി യോഗോ മനസ സമാധി, ദർ കൃഷ്ണൻ സെയ്സ് ദിസ് പരോഹി യോഗോ മനസ സമാധി. ഇൻ ദി ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം വൈൽ ഭിക്ഷുഗീത വാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ, one of the symptoms of that yoga is spoken there. Parohi yoga manasa samadhi, when the mind completely departs from the person once for all in the ajna chakram. So if we understand this much is sufficient, when the yogi says different chakras inside the body, each chakram is a stage where you are breaking away from one material element step by step, starting with the earth, Mooladharam. So, from Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahatam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasraram. These are the different chakras in the Patanjali's yoga system. Each chakram, you leave and come to the next chakra. That means you have broken away from one material element. So, five material elements you break one after the other at each chakram. Only when you break away from one, you can get landed on the other one. You have to break away from that. Is the Ashtanga Yoga process. Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahatam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasraram. Seven chakras there. So after that, when it comes to Ajna Chakram here, by then mind is gone. From Ajna Chakram to Sahasraram, that is completely done by Antaryami from inside. We don't have anything to do at that time. We are finished with all other material elements, with this body, mind, everything gone then. And that yogi then escapes through the Sahasraram, that is the Patanjali system. So in a similar way, in the Jnana Yoga also, there is Shubhecha, Tanumanasi, Asamsakti, Padartha Bhavana, there is stages, they are called Bhumika. Bhumika is the word they used in Yoga Sutram as well as in the Vedanta Sutram. The word they use is Bhumika. Bhumika means you have reached that stage and then you can throw away the last stage. Just like the rockets going. Each time it goes, when it finishes a certain distance, the first rocket drops off, isn't it? And then it shoots off from the next rocket. It gives the power for that. Similarly, over several stages, it goes and finally it comes out of the pull, of the gravitational pull of the earth. You know that. Everybody who has, at least we have gone studied physics, you will know something about these things. In the university, they teach all these things. So, in a similar principle here also, it's the same thing. Only thing is, it is inside here, whereas everything else is outside there. So, here, he says here, that in the Ekashaskandam in Bhikshita, he mentions there, Parohi Yogo Manasa Samadhi. When the mind comes to a Samadhi state, that the mind is not there anymore to control any of your thoughts. Mind means thoughts, isn't it? Chitavritti has gone completely. By the time it reaches the Ajna Chakram, and then you are released from there. In the Yoga Sutram, they mention there, Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha. So all the Chitta Vritti stops, that itself is called Yoga. If there is no more, Chitta Vritti. Chitta Vritti coming to, Chitta Vritti means thoughts coming through. If that stops, that's Yoga system. So if you have succeeded in doing that, that's called a layasthiti. Laya means you're not anymore, they're not coming out anymore. Then yogasthiti, you have to call that. Therefore, Patanjali says there, if you look into Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, you'll mention that. He also speaks everything in a very controlled way. In a very controlled way. Yoga Sutram says like this. He says, there's only not many sutras in this. He says, Tada Drashtuhu Swarupe Avasthanam. This is the third sutram in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. There is a sutram which is known as Tada Drashtuhu Swarupe Avasthanam. That's all he mentions there. That means that man abides in his real nature. In other words, what he says there is that when the Chittavritti has come, Chittavritti Nirodham. Earlier he meant Yogam is Chittavritti Nirodham. When you have practiced and come to the control of all Chittavritti inside, then he is situated in himself. He is situated in his own identity. സ്വരൂപ അവസ്ഥാനം. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഹി ഈസ് ഇൻ ഈ സ്വരൂപം. സ്വരൂപം മീൻസ് വി ആർ വാട്ട് വി ആർ ഇൻ അവർ പ്യുർ ഐഡൻറ്റിറ്റി. ആൻഡ് ടു ബി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഹി കോൾസ് ഇറ്റ് ആസ് യോഗം. യോഗം. സോ ചിത്തവൃത്തി നിരോധം ഉപായം ഹി മെൻഷൻസ് ദർ ഇൻ ദി സെക്കൻഡ് സൂത്രം. ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഹി മെൻഷൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി സെക്കൻഡ് സൂത്രം ഹി മെൻഷൻസ് ദാറ്റ് യോഗ ചിത്തവൃത്തി നിരോധ മീൻസ് യോഗ ഇസ് ദ കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് തോട്ട് വേവ്സ് ഇൻ ദ മൈൻഡ്. യോഗ ചിത്തവൃത്തി നിരോധ. ദിസ് യോഗസൂത്രം, പതഞ്ജലിസ് യോഗസൂത്രം ബിഗിൻസ് അഥ യോഗാനുശാസനം. അഥ ലൈക്ക് വേദാന്ത സൂത്രം ബിഗിൻസ് ഫ്രം ദി നോളജ് പോയിന്റ് ഓഫ് വ്യൂ. ഇറ്റ് ബിഗിൻസ് അഥാദോ ബ്രഹ്മജിജ്ഞാസ. ദാറ്റ്സ് ഹൗ വേദാന്ത സൂത്രം ബിഗിൻസ്. യോഗസൂത്രം ബിഗിൻസ് അഥ യോഗാനുശാസനം. സോ എവ്രി യോഗസിസ് പ്രോസസ് ജ്ഞാനമാർഗം ഹസ് ഗോട്ട് വേദാന്ത സൂത്രം ഓർ ബ്രഹ്മസൂത്രം ആസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ്. ആൻഡ് പതഞ്ജലീസ് യോഗ സിസ്റ്റം ഹസ് ഗോട്ട് യോഗസൂത്രം. ആൻഡ് നാരദ മഹർഷീസ് ഭക്തി ഹസ് ഗോട്ട് ഭക്തിസൂത്രം. ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് നോട്ട്? വി ഹാവ് ദ മെയ്ഡ് ഇറ്റ് സൂത്രം ഇൻ ദ ഫോം ഓഫ് എ സൂത്രം ടു ഈസി ടു റിമെമ്പർ. സോ അഥ യോഗാനുശാസനം, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ഹി ബിഗിൻസ്. And then immediately after that, the second sutram, he says, yoga chittavritti nirodha. Chittavritti nirodham is yogam. That means if you have succeeded in getting all the chittavritti under control, there is no more chittavritti, no more vritti inside, no more thought waves coming in. Completely nirodham means blocking that. Then that is called yoga system. And if you are in that state, he says here, in the third sutram, he mentions, that such a person tada drashtu swarupe avasthanam. If he has reached that state, then he is situated in his identity, in his swarupam. He is situated in his swarupam. So that's how this yoga system follows like this. And just like the compared to like Brahma Sutram, it is also a very small book like Bhakti Sutram. Vedanta Sutra is much bigger than that. So, here. So, so that is what we have seen before. In the Vedantam, they call it as Nishchala Tattvam. Nishchala Tattvam state. Nishchala Tattvam. No more Chittavritti inside Jivan Mukti. So, everybody will know that when that Nishchala Tattvam comes to him, that means when his mind has completely comes to a full stop. Full stop. Mind is not functioning anymore. That state. So, that means, when will that happen? Beyond the mind, and beyond all thought waves, he goes and touches that screen inside the soul. He's gone and touched that soul inside, which is the Nishchala Vastu. Vastu means that Vastu inside, who is beyond the senses, beyond the mind, beyond intelligence. He has penetrated inside and gone and touched that screen, what we say, like the cinema and the screen, isn't it? Cinema is going on all the time. Our chitta karma vasana is coming out and the mind is busy and that film is running all the time inside everybody. When that film is not giving attention to that, he has gone inward further looking, and he has gone and touched the soul inside Antaryami. At that point, there is a nishchalata, a steadiness comes there. Nishchalata tu jivan mukti. That is the state when the chittavrittis are not there, mind is not working anymore, and mind is completely come under control. So again, if the mind comes back and starts moving, then again chittavritti can happen. Again chittavritti can happen. But Krishna also mentions in the Bhagavatam earlier that between two chittavritti also, in that interval between two, that adhishtanam comes out, isn't it? Krishna comes between two chittavritti. From the yoga process also it's the same thing. That between two thought waves, Krishna comes out. Krishna comes out. That's what that Villamangala mentions in the Karnamadam. Anganam, Anganam, Andare, Madhavam, 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 Andare, Angana. He says, between two gopis, Krishna comes. Means, between two chitavrittis, Krishna comes. Anganam, anganam, andare madhavam. There is a verse there, isn't it? So, that is what it is. So, similarly, for example, adhishthanam. Adhishthanam is the word they use. Adhishthanam means, for example, I am sitting here. This chair is the adhishthanam. Chair is the adhishthanam. Adhishthanam means, if the chair moves, I have to move. I will be moving, isn't it? But because the chair is steady, it's fixed in one place, even though I may move a little bit, chair doesn't move. The chair doesn't move. So this is adhishthanam. I am moving. In a similar way, that nischalada inside, that adhishthanam inside, that screen inside, it allows the mind to come up and function for some time, and it takes the mind away, stops the mind from working. That's what happens, isn't it? When the nischalata or the adhishthanam is the right word. Adhishthanam, what it does is, when we wake up, the mind can come. Mind is allowed to come. And then chitavrittis come. All the chitavrittis come. That means mind has become active. The mind will function throughout the day. And in the night, when we go back to sleep, that goes back again to adhishthanam, where it came from. From the very place where it came from, it goes back to the same place where it came from. It goes back to the adhishthanam. But when all the mind is playing all these things, adhishthanam is not affected. Adhishthanam remains as steady and stable, unaffected by anything what the mind is doing. Actually, this inner world is an important topic to study, what all goes on inside. We go maximum up to the limit of the mind, isn't it? There we get lost in the world of the mind. And then trying to escape from that world the rest of the life, but we don't know where to go from there. That's what happens to all of us. So, but you can see this, that the mind has its own, mind has got a boss above that, who controls him, which we don't take notice of. So when the mind comes out in the morning, he has got a certain amount of time, 8 or 10 hours, to play its activities, and then it has to go back to the place where it came from. That's what is called adhishthanam, the soul, andaryami. That's where it came from, isn't it? So here he mentions here that adhishthanam. Now, Patanjali will say in a different language, vastu is the same. Topic is the same, conclusion is the same, everything is the same. What Patanjali says here is, drashtuhu swarupe avasthanam. That's how Patanjali puts it. Instead of jnanamargam, they will say, he goes back to andaryami, swarupam. Swarupam is andaryami. So, drashtuhu swarupe hi avasthanam yoga lakshanam, he says. So, in his Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, and Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedanta Sutram also, they have the same conclusion. It's not different at all. One through Jnana Margam, other one through Yoga Margam. That's all it is spoken. That's all the difference is. But you can see the results is the same. That both in Vedantam as well as in Ashtanga Yogam, both are saying to us that when the mind is stopped and moved away from the adhishthanam, then you are in your realized state. You are in your realized state. So, in other words, when you are in your own swarupam, that means that is your swarupam, where there is no mind influencing you anymore. No movement inside, no chittavritti inside at that state. And so, when it happens, so they're talking about that adhishthanam, that background, basis behind it. So, when he is situated there in that adhishthanam, that is the yogam, yoga state. And when he gets back into, again mind comes up in the morning every day, but for everybody it doesn't come up like that. Who have come to in an advanced state and realized state, as we progress on the spiritual path, what will happen when we wake up in the morning? We don't even wake up into the body, we wake up into the self. If you study Pradasmarana Sotram, you will see there in three verses, it explains there that normally we all wake up into the body first, isn't it? When we wake up into the body, first we check everything is okay in the body. it works ready to function, or one part of the body is paining, other part is pulling this way or that way. So you can see the normally in the conditioned state we wake up into the body, is it not? Some people wake up into the mind, but realized people, they wake up into the soul. While waking up itself, they wake up into the soul. They don't wake up into the body. We wake up into the body and the mind. Mostly into the body first. And then little bit, then to the mind afterwards. And then between the body and the mind the rest of the day. Battling with it. So, self-realized persons or who are always alert, that Jagrata inside, they are 24 hours in this business, in self-realization. So when they wake up in the morning, they don't wake up into the body or the mind. They wake up into the self. Into the self. Pradasmarami, the first verse, that's what it is talking about. So here you can see, but if ever during the day, if some chittavritti comes, you will lose your swarupam. You will move away from the swarupam and get caught up in the chittavritti. But then, if they are very alert, they will very quickly pull them back into swarupam again. Comes back from the chittavritti to back to swarupam again. So, if you look into the fourth verse in the Yoga Sutram, Patanjali mentions there that vritti sarupyam itaratra. That is the fourth sutram. Like, tada drashtuhu swarupe avasthanam, he mentioned in the third sutram. And in the fourth sutram, he says, vritti sarupyam itaratra, which means, if you identified with chittavritti, other times, it is called vritti sarupyam. It is called vritti sarupyam. That means you are identifying with chittavritti. If you are identifying with the swarupam, it is called yogam. Tada drashtuhu swarupe avasthanam. That is yogam. When you are situated in your swarupam, because yogis, whether it is process of jnanam or yogam, or even advanced devotees, when they reach that stage, then for them, spiritual life is constantly concerned, alert about their inside. Is the mind moving in any direction? They'll be very alert about that. Tasma jagrata jagrata, always alert. Inside, what's happening? So what will happen is that if it is in the swarupam, they are in the yoga state. But if ever some chittavritti comes inside, they will say vritti sarupyam itaratra. If ever they identified with any chittavritti, then they have lost the yoga state. They are in the vritti sarupyam. Instead of swarupam, they have come to the vritti, chittavritti sarupyam. Vritti sarupyam itaratra. Other states are all vritti sarupyam. That is the fourth sutram in the Patanjali's book. So, vritti sarupyam. Vritti sarupyam means, to give an example, suppose you got angry. That is a vritti, isn't it? Chittavritti it is. Anger is a chittavritti. And if you have identified with it, then that vritti sarupyam has become anger. Vritti sarupyam has become anger. You know that when the anger is coming, if you just observe at that time, although we may not have that sensibility to do it at that time, but if you observe, you will see that you knew in advance that anger is coming. You are getting angry. So somebody has provoked you, provoked something, and we don't have to say what will happen. We know that anger is coming. At that point, you know that you are separate from the anger, isn't it? At that point, you know you are separate from the anger. For in a very short time, that anger will swallow us. We lose our identity. And then what happened? We identify with the anger. That anger is our identity at that time. We don't have our own identity. We identify with the anger. So I become anger. I become anger. So that becoming angry like that and becoming that anger, that is called vritti sarupyam. That's called vritti sarupyam. That's a vritti. Chittavritti it is. You have identified with that and you have become that. That's called vritti sarupyam. Similarly, all other emotions also, lust, greed, envy, pride, all of them, if you observe carefully, you will notice that you will go and identify with it one day when that becomes very powerful. Then you have no identity of your own. You are that then. At that time, that's what you are when you identify with that. So once you have total identification, in other words, once you have identified with the chitta vritti, then you are under the material nature. You see, Prabhupada mentions marginal potency, isn't it? This is that marginal nature. When you are identified with any thoughts in the prakriti, you are under the modes of material nature, and then you have become prakriti. You are not Purusha at that time. You cannot stay as Purusha. When you are not identifying with any emotions or any thought waves, independently if you are able to stay, you are Purusha. When you identify with prakriti, you will come under control of prakriti. So he mentions the first thing for the control of the mind, mentions here that learning not to identify with anything. Not to identify with anything. So, and how to stay away from that. How to stay away from that. Parohi yogo manasa samadhi, says Bhikshu. That Brahmana, Avanti Brahmana is saying, Parohi yogo manasa samadhi. In other words, when the mind becomes completely in shanti state, and then for him, if a mind has come to the complete shanti state, then he does not require any yogam or any anushtanam or any sadhana, nothing. He requires nothing till the mind comes to that state. Parohi yogo manasa samadhi. Sadhana and all is only going to take you up to that point, to take you to that level that where the mind is not disturbing anymore. All disturbances goes away. All anushtanam, yoga sadhana, everything is for this mind becoming null, mind becoming void completely. So at that point, you have to remember this. Shanti will never come from the mind, isn't it? Remember this, we mentioned before. We keep talking about peace of mind. Peace will never come from the mind. Peace has to come from Swarupam, from the self, from the soul it has to come. So if you feel Shanti at that time, when the mind has come under complete control, then the Shanti that comes is actually coming from the soul, not from the mind. Sometimes, everybody, even very wicked person in this world, sometimes he will get some experience of that shanti inside. That shanti which comes from the soul. Everybody gets it in this world. All of us gets it. We may or may not have taken notice of it. In the middle of all problems and crises, suddenly you feel sometimes a little bit of peace inside. Is it not? That is why we are able to stay in this world. That everybody experiences it. It's not that all the time it is constantly disturbed. But then sometimes you feel good. Sometimes you feel very distressed or disturbed inside. And sometimes in the middle of all the disturbances, you feel suddenly a flicker for a few seconds or something, a certain peace inside. Where is that coming from? It has come from the soul. It doesn't come from the mind. It doesn't come from the mind. So, only thing is, after a very short period of time, the mind has stopped functioning. That's why it is happening. At that time, that awareness inside of our original awareness of our identification with the soul, from that signal comes of peace. It comes from inside. So, Shanti is there in everybody. Everybody has Shanti. And that is available to us all the time. But it is not to be achieved by our effort, that Shanti. On the other hand, all we have to do is to that mind which causes the problem, which disturbs that Shanti, only we have to control that mind. That's all. If the mind has come under control, then if the mind doesn't wake up anymore, therefore it is mentioned that Shanti is the most important thing. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses the word prasadam. Have you noticed that? Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyopajayate. Prasadam does not mean only the feast. That's not the prasadam Krishna is talking about here. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita you will see. Prasade sarva dukhanam hanirasyoba jayate. We think prasadam is feast, isn't it? No, prasadam is not feast. Prasadam means when it comes from Krishna, Antaryami inside, that peace, that's called prasadam. That's prasadam. If it comes in a natural way from inside, on its own, as I said, everybody gets it at some point or the other in life. You may have experienced that. Lot of troubles in life, lot of problems in life. In the middle, you are able to be a little bit peaceful. Sometimes, for a short period of time maybe, but then again the mind will come back and pulls you back into it. So that short period of time when you experience a very limited time, a peace inside, that is called prasadam. Prasade sarva dukhanam hanirasyoba jayate. There is a verse, I think it is probably in the 6th chapter or something. Yeah. So that prasadam means that. That is Krishna's prasadam. That means from super soul, Antaryami inside, he gives you temporarily, for a very short period of time, an awareness of your pure identity, what you are, instead of identifying with the body, mind, or anger, or any emotions. Make you aware of your own pure identity, only for a very short period of time. That's called prasadam. If you get that state through your effort, sadhana and everything, that is called yogam. The same thing, when it is given by Krishna from inside, it's called prasadam. When you reach that state of realization of the self through your own effort, means through your yoga process, jnana margam or yoga margam or bhakti margam, you purify yourself and you manage to come out of the grip of the mind and you got yourself released from the grip of the mind and the body, then it is yogam. Then it's called yogam. When it is done by Krishna's kripa from inside, which he does now and then for a very short period of time, that's called prasadam. Prasade sarva dukhanam hanirasyoba jayate. I think that is the verse. So here Krishna is saying here that shandi, so what do we do for this? Only to get this mind is the whole problem, isn't it? Mind is causing all the problem. To stop this chittavritti inside, chittavritti, that is the idea behind it. How to stop? Which one is that? Yeah. Yeah. So, prasade sarva dukhanam hanirasyoba jayade prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhir pari avatishtade. He says that for one who is situated in the divine consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exists no longer in such a happy state, one's intelligence soon becomes steady. So, that prasadam means that state where he is getting from inside. Antaryami gives you that. Gives it to you. Everybody gets it. Even most wicked people, they also get it. Not that, but it will be only for a very short period of time. You get it. Suddenly it takes away our identity with the body and the mind, and this awareness from inside, ahamasmi, ahamasmi, it comes out strongly. That I am that. That soul, that identity. Oh, that's what it is. So, here, you can see how to stop that chittavritti. That is the main thing, isn't it? One, through the process of dhyanam, meditation, isn't it? Bhagavad dhyanam, chanting the holy name and worshipping the form, Krishna's form. Somewhere, you have to hold on, either through the holy name or through Krishna's form, or meditation process, or through the power of the mantram, whatever it is. One of these ways, you have to hold on to some basis, alambam, it's called, alambam, avalambam. Avalambam means something to hold on to, something to hold on to. So, then meditation also, for example, or alambam. Alambam means, suppose I am chanting now, then the chanting the holy name is my alambam. I'm taking on to the shelter of the holy name. And depending on the power of the holy name, that is my alambam. Alambam means, what is the right word? Alambam means to hold on to something. Just like I'm walking, if I need a stick, that stick is my alambam. Support, yeah. Yes. That is a support on which I am holding on to, the support. So similarly, holy name is a support. Krishna's form is a support. All these are supporting us to hold on to something. And pranavam, om, is another one of those support for us. So ashrayam. So it mentions here that alambam, pranavam also is, pranavam means om. Vedam says that's also alambam. So if you, when they give this, in the Vedam, when they instruct this om, pranavam, when the instruction is given, they mention it like this. Edad alambanam shreshtam, edad alambanam param, edad alambanam yatva, yo yadi gachi, yo dichadi tattat. It's one of the statements in the Upanishads while talking about pranavam, om. It mentions that edad alambanam, that means after giving the upadesham of om, om, pranavam is given as upadesham, like Mahamantra is given as upadesham. Similarly, om is given as upadesham. Afterwards says, edad alambanam shreshtam, edad alambanam param, edad alambanam yatva yo abhichatval tattad. So alambanam means a support. So hold on to that support and engage in dhyanam, in meditation. So you will see this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srinarada Maharshi talks about meditation. Have you noticed that? We talked about that before. That when he had Krishna's vision first time, after that he left. Krishna disappeared and told him, in this lifetime you won't see me again. Did he not? Krishna says to him. So if you look into the first canto, you will see what did he say to him. Guhyani badrani krutani jasmaran gam paryadan tushtamanam gadaspraha kalam pratikshan vimato vimal saraha. Srinarada Maharshi mentions there in the first canto. Guhyani badrani krutani jasmaran. That is important words. Guhyani badrani krutani jasmaran, he says. So first canto, I think it is the 6th chapter. Srinarada Maharshi, after meeting Vedavyasa Maharshi, they have discussed about the yeah, 1627, 27th verse. So there you can see, Namani Anandasya Hatatrapa Patan, he says. He was chanting of the Krishna, so many holy names of Krishna. Out of them, I was chanting them, hatatrava padhan, without any shame, he said. I was not concerned at all about this world. I was chanting the holy name and moving around everywhere. And hatatrava padhan, guhyani badrani kritani jasmaran. Then, guhyani badrani kritani jasmaran. Namani anandasya hatatrava padhan, guhyani badrani kritani jasmaran. Gam paryadam tushtamana gatasprakha kalam pradikshan vimato vimalsara. We discussed this verse before also. Here, kritani means Krishna's pastimes, leela, different pastimes, or pastimes of great devotees, their activities in this world. That's all kritani. Remembering all that is, he says here, guhyani badrani kritani jasmaran. So remembering all pastimes of Krishna, pastimes of the great devotees, that is all kritani. That's all kritani. So all these things is worthwhile remembering while chanting the holy name. Krishna's pastime, all the great devotees' pastimes also. Similarly, what else he does? Krishna's pastime, the great devotees' pastimes, whatever it may be, which gives to our mind renunciation, detachment, vairagyam, truthful, peacefulness, shanti, and bhakti. Any of those things, if that creates inside us, then if you follow through of that, if you're remembering that and getting inspired by that, Kritanija Smaran, he says, Namanandasya Hatatravapadan Guhyani Bedrani Kritanija Smaran. Kritanija Smaran means that you are remembering about Krishna's pastimes or sometimes great devotees' pastimes. When you hear about so many great devotees, great personalities, naturally you get attracted to their certain activities in this world. You are affected by that, isn't it? Doesn't matter who it is, any great devotee. When you see their renunciation, their knowledge, and their strength of that bhakti in them, and strength of their surrender, you get inspired by that, isn't it? Any devotee, if you take for the Jnaneshwar, Tukaram, Namadev, Sudama, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all great devotees, if you take and look into their life, when you see that strength of their commitment to Krishna, and their renunciation, and their purity, and their simplicity, all different qualities in them, isn't it? That you get affected by that, you get inspired by that. That is what it is mentioned there, Kritanija Smaran, Sri Narada Maharshi says there, Kritanija Smaran. So, in general, he says here, Bedrani, he says, Namanirandasya Hadatrapappadan Guhyani Bedrani Kritanija Smaran. Bedrani means Krishna's form. Krishna's form, if you remember. Some people are attracted to the form very much, isn't it? Krishna's form. There are many verses in the Bhagavadam which talks about Krishna's beauty at different times. So beautiful forms, people get attracted to that. Then, or remembering about Krishna's great transcendental qualities. The kripa or the mercy he has shown to the great devotees. Seeing that and you get inspired by that. Those things. Meditating on that. If you leave these two away, which means Bedrani and Kritani, Narada Maharshi says one more thing there. What is that? Guhyani. That Guhyani means, Guhyam means confidential. Very confidential. What is that confidential? Confidential is this thing. There's only one thing that is confidential of your awareness, what you are. Knowing very well that this awareness message, what you are getting all the time from inside, that I am, I am, I am, that awareness, that is coming from Krishna inside, isn't it? Krishna is the source where it's coming from. So remembering that is what is called Guhyani. Guhyani, Bedrani, Kritani, Jasmaran. Why is it called Guhyani? It is coming from the Guha, that cave, the Hrit, what we talked about. Remember? That Janmadhyase, Donyavyadharadas, Charte, Shabhitya, Swarad, Tene, Brahma, Hrit. That Hridayam. From there it's coming. It is a Guhyam, it's a Guha, cave it is. Hridaya Kuharamadhyay, that is cave that is. So anything that's coming from there is Rahasyam. Is very confidential. So sometimes, that is why it's called Guhyani. It's coming from the Guha inside. It's confidential. It's not open. It's only you know about it, nobody else know. Isn't it? About your own existence, the awareness message is coming from that point, from inside Guha. Same thing, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi, Hrit it's called. Hridi Sannivishto, Matha, Smridir, Jnanam, Apohanam Cha. Vedesya sarvair aham aham aidyo vedandagrut vedavidevaja. So that aham aham awareness is coming from that source, isn't it? That is that Guhyani. So Sri Narada Maharshi is saying there, Namani anandasya hadatravapadan Guhyani bedrani kritani jasmaran gam paryanam. In this way I was wandering around. Tushtamana, fully satisfied. Gadaspriha, I have no feeling for anything else. Gampariyadam tushtamana gadaspruha kalam pratikshan, waiting for death to come. Vimato vimalsara, I didn't have to compete with anyone about anything in this world. That is devotee. So you can see Narada Maharshi's words, how straightforward it is, isn't it? What a devotee means. Devotee means that he knows what is spiritual life, properly how to execute that. He's in that state all the time. That is what he's saying here. സോ സോ ഗുഹ്യം മീൻസ് രഹസ്യം, കോൺഫിഡൻഷ്യൽ. രഹസ്യം മീൻസ് സ്വരൂപസ്മരണ, അബൌട്ട് അവർ ഓൺ അവെയർനെസ്, മെമ്മറി ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ്. സോ ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, വി റിമെമ്പർ അബൌട്ട് അവർ സെൽസ്, വി റിമെമ്പർ അബൌട്ട് അവർ സെൽസ്, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വൈ ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് ഗുഹ്യം. അറ്റ് ദ മോമെൻറ്റ് വി ഡോണ്ട് റിമെമ്പർ അബൌട്ട് അവർ സെൽസ്, വാട്ട് ഡു വി റിമെമ്പർ അബൌട്ട് അവർ ബോഡി. വി റിമെമ്പർ അബൌട്ട് അവർ ബോഡി, ദാറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ വാട്ട് വി റിമെമ്പർ അറ്റ് ദ മോമെൻറ്റ്. ഇസ് ഇൻ ഗുഹ്യാനി സ്മരൻ. സോ ദർ ഫോർ, സോ വൈൽ ചാൻറ്റിങ് ഓൾ ദിസ് ഈസ് ഗുഡ് ടു റിമെമ്പർ. വെൻ വി ആർ ചാൻറ്റിങ് ദ ഹോളി നെയിം, ശ്രീനാരദ മഹർഷി സേയിങ് ടു അസ്, വെൻ ഹി വാസ് ചാൻറ്റിങ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ഹി വാസ് ചാൻറ്റിങ്, ഗുഹ്യാനി ഭദ്രാണി കൃതാനി ജസ്മരൻ. ഓൾ ത്രീ, ഗുഹ്യാനി ഭദ്രാണി കൃതാനി, വി സോ ഓൾ ത്രീ വാട്ട് ദേ ആർ, ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ്. So, when we chant the holy name in that way, that vastu inside, Antaryami, who is the witness of, which we saw earlier, Anoraniyamsam Anusmaredya, he mentions there before, isn't it? That is that what you are remembering about. Sarvasya Dadharam Achindya Rupam, which we saw in the last verse. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastad. In the last verse, we saw that, isn't it? Anoraniyam is mentioned there. Here, Narada Maharshi is saying Guhyam. The same thing is called, he is calling here as Guhyam. In other words, eyes cannot see that. Eyes cannot see that. Eyes cannot see that. In the Vedic way of splitting the time is much more finer than the modern sciences got. If you split the second by 32,400, that is called a paramanu, the time, breaking up the time. If you break up the time of a second, if you split it with 32,400 smaller into 32,400 parts, that one part is called paramanu time-wise, from time-wise. Matter-wise, it is smaller than that, the breakup. It's smaller than the that. In other words, intelligence cannot perceive that. Intelligence cannot perceive that. Now, we say, atom, atom, we talk about atoms, isn't it? Paramanu is much smaller than the atoms, much smaller than the atom. So, buddhi, intelligence cannot get there. Anoraniyan mahado mahiyan. And where will you go and search for him? It's not possible to search for him anywhere. Anor, mahad, all these things are spoken keeping in the mind of the thing called space, isn't it? Because time and space is the two things. On the time basis, they have broken into a second, broken by 32,400. I mean, that calculations will come to later in the same chapter, how we got this 32,400. So time is broken further, space is also broken. How do you break the space? That is what he says, Anoraniyan Mahado Mahiyan. That means it is such a space that you can't even, in your measurements or calculations, you can't even imagine how small that is. Mahado Mahiyan. And as far as this size is concerned, also you can't comprehend that. The smallness of the soul, you can't comprehend. The bigness of the vastness of the soul, also you can't comprehend. So, you can think whatever you feel after that. You don't know how to make it smaller, that small it is. And it's also, that is why it mentions smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. That's all you can say like that, isn't it? You can't say anything more than that. That mean, what it means is that you can't comprehend with your mind and intelligence. That's all it is. If you ask how small it is, you say it's smaller than the smallest. Then where will you say further than that? Similarly, it's bigger than the biggest. You see, mind and intelligence can comprehend up to a limit, isn't it? After that, it can't comprehend anything more than that. It is so big that it can't comprehend. It's so small, it can't comprehend. That's why in the last verse, he said, Anoraniyam sam anusmaredya, he said. In Kathopanishad, it says, Anoraniyam mahado mahiyam. It mentions like that. So, it mentions here that space-time, see, both these things called two things, space and time, they come from the mind. It's finished with the mind. When the mind dies, they are also dead. Space and time doesn't exist anymore after that. So anoraniyan, so where will you go and search for him? Search for that. Space, time, everything has come from the mind. When the mind, as we mentioned, when it comes to Ajna Chakram, mind die. There is no mind after that, isn't it? So then after that there is no Anu, there is no Mahat either. There is no Anoraniyam, there is no Mahadomahiyam. Both finishes there. What Kadobanishad mentions that Atmasya Jando Nihidam Guhayam. If you remember in Kadobanishad, that verse we saw before, that famous verse. Anoraniyam Mahado Mahiyan Almasya Jandor Nihidam Guhayam Tamakradu Pashyadi Vita Shoko Dadu Prasadan Mahimanam Almana. When Nachiketas asked the question, Yamadharma Raja is saying to him that it is most subtle than the most subtle thing in this world, and it is greater than the greatest, smaller than the smallest, and greater than the greatest, and he is present in everyone. Within everyone. So Yamaktamakradu Pashadi Vita Shogo Dhadu Prasadan Mahimana Malmana. We saw that verse previously also. That one who has got freedom from the mind and hankering and lamentation, from the ragam and dvesham, and Dhadu Prasadan Mahimana Malmana. Here also uses the word prasadam. Prasadam means by the mercy. That mercy that comes from the soul alone, you will get it. The soul has to give it you by his own mercy. Antaryami's mercy, Kripa. You will get, he will realize that at that point. Tamakradu Pashyadi Veda Shoko Dadu Prasadan Mahimanam Almana. Prasadan Mahimanam Almana. So that is the prasadam from the Alma, from the soul. So Hridaya Hridaya Guha. Hridaya Guhayam. Almanya Jando Nihido Guhayam. So Dharagasham. Dharagasham means this place here, we say sometimes as a cave, sometimes we call it as a space. Chidagasham. In different yoga process it's addressed in different ways. That's all it is. And Jnanamargam alone, they address this place in different ways. Sometimes it is addressed as Chidagasham. It's a space. Agasham is space, isn't it? Chit, where Chit Shakti is present. Therefore, it's called Chidagasham. And sometimes it is addressed as Hrith, Hridayam, where he is present. Hridaya Guharam, Madhye. That's all. It's mentioned like that. So, Hridaya Guhayam, Dahara. Also, it is called Dharagasham. Another word used in the Upanishads. So, when he comes to know about that space inside, how does he see there? Vita Shokaha. Upanishad says Vita Shokaha. That means, as soon as he sees that, all lamentation goes away. Shoka means lamentation. All kinds of lamentation leaves him. Anoraniyan. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram. And, so he mentions here, how Sagunas Mared Kaha. Where, how will you remember that space inside? Remembering a space is a very difficult thing, isn't it? Because we are only used to remembering things with the mind. So that's why I mentioned here, not with the mind. You cannot remember that space with the mind. When the mind goes away, at that time that space will manifest. It's very difficult to explain also, and also to, till we experience it. That's why this whole chapter is meant for realization, not for explanation. It's meant for realization. Although we are talking about it, basically it's meant for realization. Krishna is mentioning here, when the mind goes away, that space will manifest, which is Chidagasham, the Chit Shakti inside, will manifest its identity. So, either it can happen through surrender, bhakti, or it can happen through jnana vijaram, through jnanam, jnanam process. So both are same, ultimately it's the same. So when we have surrendered completely without keeping anything for ourselves in this world, totally surrendered to Krishna and completely taken Krishna's self, become a first class pure devotee, in that case it will manifest on its own. that realization will come on its own. Therefore, it was called as Achindya Rupam. Krishna mentions there, isn't it? Kavim Puranam, Anushasidaram, Anoraniyamsam, Anusmaredya, Sarvasya Dadaram, Achindya Rupam. That is why it was called Achindya Rupam. You can't talk about it, you can't explain that, but when bhakti becomes perfect, when you completely surrendered, that Achindya Rupam will come out in its own. Or through Jnana Vijayaram, through the process of knowledge, if you become realized, then also that will come out at that point. So, Achindya Rupam. In other words, Chinda means thought, thought means mind, cannot reach there. Mind cannot reach there, thoughts cannot reach there, that space what we are talking about. Chinta means what? Always the word mentioned about before, chitta. Chitta is something that is burning all the time, isn't it? So, that is why when we, in the olden days, when they burned the body with a cow dung or with a firewood, they call it chitta. That chitta means it burning. So, chindayaha chindana, bindu matram visheshanam. That means, between chitta and chinta, there is only a small difference, in other words. Matram visheshanam. So, chinta dahati mridam deham. Chitta dahati mridam deham. Chitta, what it does is, it burns the body. Chitta, what it does is, it burns the body. What does chinta do? Chinta burns the mind. Chinta burns the mind, thinking about the truth. Eventually, it burns the whole mind away, ultimately. Chinta dahati jividam. So, chinta dahati jividam. Chinta also does another thing. Whole life is burning us inside, is it not? It's burning us all the time. So, while we are living in this world, in this body, it is still burning inside. Inside it is burning. So that chinta, that means these thought waves, due to practice of Krishna consciousness, if it comes to standstill, no more burning inside, in other words, mind is not functioning anymore, it will bring shanti inside. It will bring shanti inside. So, Patanjali says here, if that becomes regular, then he says, Sadu dirghakala nairandaryam, Nasalkaram Adaram Adevidu Dradabhumihi. If you look into this Yoga Sutra, it mentions the 13th Sutra. He mentions there that Sadhu Dirghagala Nairandaryam. He mentions like this, Sadhu Dirghagala Nairandaryam Sadkara Sevida Dradabhumihi. He says, what does he mean? It means Sadhu, that said, Dirghakalam Nairandaryam Satkara Sevido Dridabhumi. Dridabhumi means you have got there and you got grounded there. How? Practice is the repeated effort to follow the disciplines which give permanent control of the thought waves of the mind. Permanent control of the thought waves that comes through the mind. That you have got a complete control over it. That is this 13th Sutram. He says, Abhyasa Vairagya Abhyam Tan Nirodha. The Sutram before that, on the 12th one, he says, Abhyasam. He says, Abhyasam Vairagyam. Two things. Krishna also says that. The same thing Krishna has taken from Patanjali's Yoga Sutram and puts it in the Bhagavad Gita. Through Abhyasa Yoga Yuga, Krishna mentions there, Abhyasenam, Abhyasenaja Kaundeya Vairagyanaja Grihyate. He says, isn't it? The same thing Patanjali is saying here. Abhyasam vairagyabhyam tan nirodha. That nirodham means that control, they are controlled by means of practice and vairagyam, non-attachment. Practice and vairagyam. That's the only way it can happen. Patanjali says there, Krishna also says. And then what will happen is, tatrasthito yatno abhyasaha. He says, that tatrasthito yatno abhyasa. Abhyasam will take you there. Sadhu dirghakala nairandaryam nairandarya satkara sevido dridabhumihi. If you do it for a dirghakala, for a long period of time, kalenam dirghakalena nairandaryam, nirandaram, continuously, uninterruptedly, if you do that, നൈരന്തര്യം സത്കാര സേവിതോ ദൃഢഭൂമി യു വിൽ ഗെറ്റ് ഗ്രൗണ്ടഡ് ദയർ ഹി സൈസ് യു വിൽ ഗെറ്റ് ഗ്രൗണ്ടഡ് ദയർ സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫ്രം ദി യോഗ സൈഡ് ഫ്രം ദി യോഗ ഫ്രം ദി പതഞ്ജലിസ് യോഗസൂത്രം സൈഡ് ദൃഢഭൂമി ദീർഘകാല നൈരന്തര്യം മീൻസ് നോട്ട് വൺ ഓർ ടു ഡേയ്സ് നോട്ട് വൺ ഓർ ടു ഡേയ്സ് ഇറ്റ് ഗെറ്റ്സ് ഗ്രൗണ്ടഡ് ദൃഢഭൂമി ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് യു ആർ ഗെറ്റ് കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി എസ്റ്റാബ്ലിഷ് ദയർ ഇൻ വെരി ഡീപ്പ് ലെവൽ ഇൻ എ വെരി ഡീപ്പ് ലെവൽ സോ ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് വി വിൽ ഗെറ്റ് ഫിക്സ്ഡ് അപ്പ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് അവർ സെൽഫ് ആൻഡ് ദൻ നിഷ്ഠ വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് വി കോൾ എസ് നിഷ്ഠ നിഷ്ഠ യു വിൽ സീ ദ സെയിം തിങ് ഇൻ ദ ഭക്തി ആൾസോ ഭക്തി പ്രോസസ് ആൾസോ സെയിം തിങ് ഈസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ബട്ട് ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് ടെർമിനോളജി ഈസ് യൂസ്ഡ് അധൗ ശ്രദ്ധ സാധുസംഗം ഭജനക്രിയ അനർത്ഥ നിവൃത്തി ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഗോസ് ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി രൂപ ഗോസ്വാമീസ് ബുക്സ് യു വിൽ സീ ദിസ് സോ വാട്ട് ഡസ് ഇറ്റ് മീൻ ആൻഡ് അഗെയിൻ ദർ വിൽ സേ ദർ ദൃഢഭൂമി ദീർഘകാല നൈരന്തര്യം സോ നോട്ട് വൺ ഓർ ടു ഡേയ്സ് ഹി ഗെറ്റ്സ് ഗ്രൗണ്ടഡ് ദൃഢഭൂമി സോ ഫൈനലി കംസ് ടു നിഷ്ഠ നിഷ്ഠ മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് യു ആർ ഫിക്സ്ഡ് യു ഗോട്ട് എസ്റ്റാബ്ലിഷ്ഡ് ദർ വൺസ് യു ആർ എസ്റ്റാബ്ലിഷ്ഡ് ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് നിഷ്ഠ 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 ഈസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് ഫോർ എവറിഥിങ് സംടൈംസ് വി സേ ഓ ഹി പെർഫോം സാധന ബട്ട് ഹി ഹാസ് നോ നിഷ്ഠ means he does it now and then when it suits him that kind of practice sometimes he says I'm a little bit relaxed about that and that's when you don't have an ishta that's when you feel like having a holiday and a little bit of relaxed spiritual life oh I'm on a spiritual holiday now so I don't need to chant anymore I feel a little that is not nishta nishta means it is fixed he is fixed in that no matter what happens in this world you will continue doing that so that is nishtha that is drida nishtha so any adhyatma sadhana any sadhana control of the mind is like that my control of the mind is also by practice in that way that this awareness we have taken seriously ultimately we will see that any sadhana process also it has to come to like that they give the example like breathing Breathing is natural, isn't it? We don't think about it. While sleeping, while waken up conditions, dreaming, all times, the breathing goes on. Our sadhana has to become like that. Then only it is called nishtha. So you see the difficulty that at the moment our sadhana is limited, isn't it? We have set up a certain time for sadhana. For a very serious people in spiritual life, that's not good. That's why the setting up certain rounds and all that, I'll chant 16, I'll chant 64, is not very highly elevated people. Very advanced and very serious people, in other words, spiritual life, for them there is no number. Number doesn't come into calculations. No number. Why? Because they're going so serious that they say that it should be like the breathing. It has to happen, the chanting has to happen in that way. In other words, same thing with, similarly, in the Jnanamargam also, those who are inquiring after the self, spiritual inquiry, for them also, it has to be continuous, all the time. Every time a thought wave comes, you have to ask the question, who is having this thought? Or who is having this particular emotions coming inside, like that. Ahamvritti it's called. And when you notice that Ahamvritti goes and dissolves itself in the place where it came from, then automatically after a while, that pure consciousness, prajna, will come from there. And that awareness, constantly being alert about that, that is the meditation in the Jnanamargam. So the best process of meditation is not to be situated within oneself is the best meditation. That means every time when you have this question, that means constant alertness inside of that awareness, where is it coming from? Going back to that source every moment with every thought, or when every time anything happens in this world, immediately going back to that source where it is creating its effect on us, is it not? Suppose somebody speak to us very rude or insulting way, immediately you have to look inwards and see who is getting affected by that insult. At that time you can see it is that ahankaram, false ego, who gets affected. And if you inquire, you will see where has it come from. It has come from the same place where aham bodham, awareness, has come. It's from the same place. So it goes back and dissolves there. Like this, whenever we have very strong emotions, if you look into it, you will see that it has come from the same place where the aham bodham has come. So that is the dhyanam, meditation. So sarvasya dhadharam. Remember in the last verse, Krishna mentions there, sarvasya dhadharam. We are thinking within ourselves, we are jiva. Somehow we have established ourselves as jiva, isn't it? So if you look into the 7th chapter on the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about two things there. What was that? Apara Prakriti and Para Prakriti. Remember that? He mentions two things there. This 7th chapter and 8th chapter is very closely connected. So in the 7th chapter, Krishna mentions Apara Prakriti and Para Prakriti. We discussed that at that time. In there, Krishna mentions there, Apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam. There, jiva, he mentions there, is Para Prakriti. Isn't it not? Apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yedam dharyate jagat. That is a very important verse there. Because that verse is a very good explanation of how this creation is supported. Yayedam dharyade jagat. It is that jiva bhudham dharyade jagat, he is saying there. Dharyade jagat. So, this jagat, this world or this creation, who is holding it? That is jiva bhudham. Jiva bhudham. If you remember, in this last verse, Kavim Purana Manushasidaram Anoraniyamsa Manusmaredya Sarvasya Dhadharam, he says, isn't it? Sarvasya Dhadharam. And Sarvasya Dhadharam Achindya Rupam, he mentions there. So, the same way, if you go into the 7th chapter, you will see there, First, he mentioned about five material elements. Bhumi, apam, anala, bhumi, rabhanalo, vayu, gham, mano, buddhi, revaja. Bhinna prakriti rashtatha. If you look into that verse, 7-4. There, five material elements he addresses first. Which are they? Bhumi, earth, water, air, ether and fire. The five material elements. Then, to that, Krishna has added three more. Mind, intelligence and false ego. Is it not? So, 5 plus 3, 8. Altogether, these comprises my separated material energies. That is Apara Prakriti. Krishna mentions that. Remember this? Bhinna Prakriti Ashtadha, he says. Ashtadha Prakriti. It's called Ashtadha Prakriti. These eight. Five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. And then in the next verse, Krishna is saying, Apareyam Itasthvanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yayedam Dharyate Jagat. Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind which are all living entities. That means all of us, who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. There also he uses the word dharyade jagat. So if jiva is not there, jagat is not there. Because of the presence of jiva, jagat is not. Jagat is there. Is it not? So jagat is supported by jiva. Jagat is supported by jiva. Jagat dharana dharyam. And Krishna is saying here, sarvasya dhadharam achindya rupam. In the 7th, in the 8th chapter, he says, in the 9th verse, he also sees there, Sarvasya dhadharam achindya rupam aditya varnam tamasa parasad. So, one thing important here is that that jiva, what is jiva? Jiva is all of us, isn't it? We are all jivas. So how am I supporting this creation? How am I supporting this creation? Because Krishna is saying that Edam Dharide Jagat. Yajnavalkya and Janaka, they had a conversation about this. Janaka asked Yajnavalkya Maharshi. Janaka asked him, I am coming into awareness of this world. What is the support of this world? Yajnavalkya Maharshi says, the earth is the support, he says. Earth is the support. That, the way he answered is very interesting. When Janaka and Yajnavalkya met each other, Janaka, they are both jnanis, isn't it? Yajnavalkya is a sage. Janaka Maharshi is also, Janaka is also a king, but also mentioned the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Krishna says, Astito Janakadaya, the Janaka's position. Both jnanis. So, and also Janaka, as well as a jnani, is a devotee as well. Because you will see Swayambhu, Narada Shambhu, Kumara, Kabilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janago, Bhishma, Prahlada, Janago. Janaka is also a Mahabhagavata. Maha, what do they call? Mahajan. He is called Mahajan, yeah. So, Swayambhu, Narada Shambhu, Kumara, Kabilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janago, Bhishma. So, Janaka is a Mahajan in the bhakti process also. In the Jnanamargam also, he is, Krishna mentions him as an authority because Shuka Brahmarshi goes to him to get instructed. And Krishna gives Janaka as a best example for Karma Yogi. So that means in Karma Yogam also, he is an authority. He's an authority in Karma Yogam. He's an authority in Jnana Yogam. He's an authority in Bhakti Yogam as well. So highly situated this personality, Janaka. Janaka's. Whole story is there in the Bhagavatam, Janaka Maharaja's story. Krishna has brought him to Bhagavad Gita and you can see it here also. So this, Janaka and Yajnavalkya, they are having a discussion about it. He asked him this question, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to him that Prapancham, that this creation, Janaka asked him this question, we come to know about this creation, what is the support of this creation? Yajnavalkya Maharshi says, Bhumi. The earth is the support, he says. So, who supports the earth? He says the water supports the earth. Jalam. Jalam is the support of the earth. And where does the jalam exist? Who supports the water? He says the fire supports the water. Fire supports the water. So, who supports the fire, he says? Air supports the fire. You can see from the subtle point of view, all this is correct. In the creation process, this is how it has happened. From the sky, space came air, air, fire, fire, water, water, earth. That is the process of creation, isn't it? And correspondingly, they have their tanmatra, the subtle elements also, which is sound, touch, smell, all that is their subtle element. So based on the same principle, Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying here that Bhumi, earth is supported by the water is supported by the fire is supported by the air, and air is supported by the space. So where does the Vayu, air stays? He says here in the space, in the Agasham space. So one is subtle than the other, is it not? The space is subtle than the air. Air is subtle than the fire. Fire is subtle than the water. Water is subtle than the earth. Earth is the most gross form. And you become subtle and subtle comes to the space, which is the most subtle thing of all. So, here also interesting thing. You can see one to another, it becomes pervasive. Pervasive means, for example, Earth, if you leave it in one place, it will stay there. Earth will stay there. It doesn't have the pervasiveness, isn't it? If you drop it somewhere, it will stay there. That is the nature of the earth. It doesn't have the pervasive nature. Water, if you drop somewhere, what will happen? It goes every direction, isn't it? It spreads. Water, if you drop, it doesn't stay there. If it has got an opportunity to go to the sidewise or in any direction, it will flow. That's pervasive nature. That's there in the water. Water has got that nature. So, in all direction, in only in the horizontal way it will go, sidewise, it will pervasiveness, isn't it? Because it is subtle than the earth, it is subtle than the earth, therefore it pervades. Now, fire, it is subtle than the water, fire is subtle than the water, therefore what it does, it goes up. These are all the pervasive nature of the fire. The earth will go in spreads in all directions. Fire goes up. Fire goes up. And vayu, air, it goes in all directions. In all directions. So, for vayu to spread, to pervade, it needs a space. For vayu to pervade, this is all in the Upanishads. This is from there all this has come. So, vayu, in order that the air to pervade, it needs space. Otherwise, it can't go anywhere, isn't it? It needs a space to go. So, that subtlety in each element is based on this, that there is a space where there is no vayu, there is no air either. So, that space is still there without air. There is a space. And that is why, for example, you can see when our NASA scientists, when they go to other planets, they find out, is there air there? Otherwise, they have to take air from here. They go there. They take air from here to breathe there. They go all these 500 million miles, whatever they have gone, carrying air from here to breathe there. Because they don't know. They are finding out, is it there by chance, air there? Space is there, but air is not there to breathe. There's no air there. After spending all this money and gone there to find out that there's no air there. It's very interesting, isn't it? So much money spent to find out if there is air or water. Two things they are looking for. If there is air there or there is water there. And then a lot of photos at the end. That's all. It comes back here. So, there is no. So, they are inquiring about that. Whenever they get a new planet, these are the two things they inquire. If you look, you will see air and water. Air and water. There is no water, airless space. They say, we got a lot of space there. What's the use besides space? So, in the some space, air is there, but not everywhere in some space. So, first thing is space. From the space comes air. From the air comes fire. In that way, if you look, all the other four material elements below that, from the sky, from the space, he is keeping within that. Space is keeping all the other four material elements within that. You see how the sages have come out all these things, isn't it? It's amazing that they had all this realization. Simply sitting in the forest, they were able to get through all this. This cannot be invented by research work. You won't get it. What they're saying to us is that all the four panchabhutam, panchabhutam means five material elements, four of them, that means earth, water, air, and fire, they are all fire and air, they are all kept by the ether. Ether keeps them within its body, within its body. We are saying here, we think that the space is empty, but the space, they are now saying, the scientists have started saying, the space is not empty. Now they are saying that. Space is not empty. They are saying that it is filled with energy. It is filled with energy. Now, if you want to understand, it is completely up to you. I wouldn't say that you have to waste a lot of time, but there is a lot of interesting discussions in America about these things. Because if you look into there are atheistic associations in America. They don't support the presence of God, or they don't accept any God, existence of God. But they very strongly support the science. They're atheists. For them, science is taken the place of God, actually. Yeah. So there is constantly debates among them about God exists or not exist. It's interesting sometimes to hear that. It's not for developing bhakti inside, but to see the depth of their understanding. You can see from that. Some interesting discussions there. So, they are coming out, everything has to come from matter. anything that is not coming from the matter, which cannot be proved by the science, the very big blunder that they come up with is that they cannot go after a limit. They are stuck there and they are saying, we will find out in the future. This is their answer. You will see people like, there's so many names, very important names associated with big universities in America. Very big universities in America. They are either teaching there, or they are freelance writers who write books about atheism. And there's also some professors from the British universities, like I mentioned before, Richard Dawkins and others. So listen to their argument. They are supposed to be highly learned, isn't it? Well, learned in the sense that they got big positions in this society and they are going all around the world and presenting their scientific conclusions and all that. When you read through, listen to them and hearing from them, you can see how shallow is their understanding of the, somehow or the other, what Krishna is saying, that this knowledge of the self is not coming. What can you do? How unfortunate that is. When you see them and when they talk, you can immediately see their unfortunate situation. That Krishna has given them so many other things, intelligence, mind, everything, but the knowledge of the self has never gone to their head. Never they could think in that direction. So there are a lot of discussions in the YouTube about it, if you want to hear, just to understand that where they stand. Because they are the ones who are, they say that the religion, okay, if it is helping you to survive in this world, but that is one, their way of speaking. But the fact is that they are also in deep avidya. Avidya is very deeply rooted in them as well. So if somebody asks you to prove these five material elements, one comes from the other, how will you prove that? And everything has to be proved. But we don't need a proof. Why? Because Krishna is saying to us very clearly how these elements work, first of all, their subtle aspect and the gross aspect. Krishna is presenting that science, what Krishna has created this world, how this has come from the world. They don't believe in a creator. They don't be, so the interesting part of that is, their argument is that if the God has not created the world has no purpose. This is the next step they have come to. That means, if this world was not created by anyone, the world should not have any purpose. It's just popped up one day like this. And then there should be no purpose in life. This is their conclusion. Whereas rishis are saying to us, the whole creation has happened only for one purpose, to realize the self. See how the outlook is so different. So there is one personality, you may have heard about him, Deepak Chopra. He discusses this, which is there in the Hindi. But the problem, Deepak Chopra was with Mahesh Yogi for many, many years, 15, 20 years. He's a doctor from Delhi. And he is also a very closely associated with Mahesh Yogi when Mahesh Yogi was living. And from Mahesh Yogi, he has learned many things of Vedantam. He picked everything from Mahesh Yogi. And he gets great pleasure in challenging these scientists. So there is a lot of discussions between Deepak Chopra and these scientists. Sam Harris, and there's a few other names also, big names in US. So if you listen to their discussions, you'll see Deepak Chopra is presenting from the consciousness point of view, how consciousness is superior to the science, and consciousness is more important than anything else. So those discussions are there. So interesting thing here is, that why, even though it is presented to them, it's not entering into their head. Hours and hours of discussion, but never able to accept there's a thing called consciousness. They are always trying to avoid this word consciousness. They are saying that this consciousness word itself is not, there is no proof for that. This is how they come up with. So this problem is going to remain in this world. What I'm saying is that, unfortunately, because Deepak Chopra's case, particularly what I'm saying is that he has studied the books and he has an understanding a lot of things, but because in Vedantam, simply speaking is not the business, practicing it is more important. If you have realized it, all these personalities will accept it. Otherwise, they are not going to accept it. But unless, since you are not realized, it is very difficult also to get the point across to them. So here the question, now the same discussion what they are having millions of years ago, Yajnavalkya and Janaka has discussed in a different way. And there it was mentioned there that the question was, Yajnavalkya asked this energy. They are talking about energy. Now the scientists are saying the space is not empty. There is energy there. Although it appears as though it is empty, there is energy particles in the, what does this energy means? Energy means the living force, Chaitanyam, isn't it? The soul, it is present there. They are little bit, they are agreeing with that, that it is not empty. The space is not empty. There is energy there. So you can see here, wherever if a favorable situation develops, then living entity can take birth there. Living entity can take birth there because the whole space is full of Chaitanyam, living force. So where does that where does that space, who supports the space, asked, who Janaka asked this to Yajnavalkya Maharshi. Yajnavalkya says, don't ask anymore, he says, in a little bit anger mood. He says to Janaka, so why you are asking this question, he says, because if you ask more than this, you won't be there anymore. That's how he answered that. Do you know what that means? It means all that is staying within you and you are asking this question. Because the Chaitanyam inside, or Aham Aham that Andariyami, Adhishtanam, it is in him all these things are existing, all creation. You see? Remember, that is why in Vedantam they say, Drishyam is not important, Drishtav is important. If you bring up with questions about Drishyam, they are not going to answer this question. Drishyam answering is useless. You answer to Drishtav. Answer is, Drishtav means the seer, not the seen. So all that what you see, where does it stand? It stands in the seer. How complex that is. It's a very, very subtle understanding this is. Vedantam confirms this, that everything what you see, earth, water, air, ether and fire, all these things he has answered. And finally he came to space, which is the last one. So when he asked, where does the space, where does it stay? Yajnavalkya says to Janaka, don't ask that stupid question, he says. The whole thing is staying within you, he said. Not in the body, he means. He meant within you, that Andariyami inside. That's where it is all coming from. So that Janaka, he is saying to Janaka, till once you have realized that, then you will know it. But you have not realized it, what can I do? He says to him. So that is the thing where Yajnavalkya says that hold the space, all this space what you are talking about, where do you experience that? In your awareness, isn't it? In your awareness, you are experiencing that space. So where does the space stand? Space stand inside your awareness. Inside your awareness. In other words, Bodham. Bodham means avabodham, awareness. You may ask, what's all this to do with Krishna consciousness? Isn't it? But if you know these things, your Krishna consciousness will be clear. That's the advantage. Because this is all Krishna consciousness only. It is nothing else in there. We are thinking that why break our heads with all these things? No, it is necessary. It is the same business what Yajnavalkya and Janaka did thousands and thousands of years ago, what the modern science is trying to do today. They are also inquiring. But only thing is, they are so unfortunate that they don't have that capacity of Yajnavalkya or Yajnavalkya is a personality who worshipped the sun planet and got from him Yajurvedam. That's the personality Yajnavalkya is. Imagine the personality behind him. So such is the great personality, the realizations of these people. He says to him that where that sky, space remains in your awareness. In your awareness. And so this creation, Krishna mentions there, Eyedam Dharyade Jagat, isn't it? About Jiva he says that. So, who sees this as creation, first of all? You have to ask that question. Who is seeing this as the creation? So, somebody inside who is present there, he is making you aware of this creation, isn't it? You are becoming aware of this creation. How? Unless somebody is doing it from inside. And that is what he is saying here, that, for example, this Mike. Mike does not know that Mike does not know that I am speaking now, isn't it? Mike does not know that I am speaking. But I know of my own awareness, my own existence. And I also know about yourself. You are sitting here. And you are conscious of your own existence. You are also conscious of me sitting here. All of us are aware of ourselves. But Mike doesn't have that. Mike doesn't have that. So, therefore, similarly, in our awareness is this world existing, this creation, whole creation existing within our awareness. If we don't have the awareness, this world doesn't exist. This world doesn't exist. So, this is the Siddhantam of the Vedantam. This is the Siddhantam of the Vedantam. When I heard this, that Deepak Chopra was talking this to them, it's not getting in. It's not getting in somehow. That they are getting confused there at that point. They are doing like this and that, all kinds of things. They are pulling their faces because it's not getting in. So much addicted to the matter, only thinking in terms of the matter. Matter alone is the only source as they understand. They can't believe that behind this there is a consciousness, awareness, all these things. It goes away like that. This is the situation today. Right at to this stage, which is, if you look at the discussions, what happened in 2011, even 2012, between them, that's where they are. It's not moving an inch further. One group is constantly saying, everything is science, prove it to us, prove it to us, prove it to us. The other person side is saying to them that there's nothing to prove, that this awareness is the source from where everything has come. So, that is what it is important here. Therefore, till today, both the science and Vedantam is standing on two different sides. On two different sides. Because what does the science say? Science is saying to us, world is important. World is important, isn't it? You are sitting inside the world and after a while you are dying and going away. Vedantam saying, world is not important, you are important. You see that difference? World is not important for Vedantam, you are important. Because it is in you, this world was born. That is the principle behind it. So, and it is in you, this world is living now. And this world will die in you. This is Vedanta concept. You can't challenge this concept. Till you get convinced, you will get disturbed by the science. That's why every time when science makes some new revelations about Moon and Mars and all, people get so perplexed about it. They're thinking that, they took Bhagavatam and start looking here and there, and they're saying, oh, this verse is, this is not agreeing with what they have found out from the space and all that. They are on the other side of it. But reality is, Vedantam talks from the Brahma Sutram, if you look. This is the principle. That's why when you start studying these texts like Upanishads and Brahma Sutram, you can see they have an answer for what the science cannot answer. Science will never be able to answer this question. It is not possible, because what Vedavyasa Maharshi and many, many great sages, Narada Maharshi, Angiras, Vishwamitra and so many others, how many thousands of years penances and austerities they have performed before they had reached that state where they were. And you will never be able to come to that state through this modern science. It is not possible. You can simply forget that. So, therefore, world is important for the science, for Vedantam, the individual is important. We are important. I am important because this world is within me. This world is within me. The world is born within me, it stays within me, and it will disappear within me. When self-realization happens, what happens? That's what happens, isn't it? The world disappears. Today the world, what we are perceiving, as we perceiving now, will not exist at that time. Sarvabhudeshya pashet bhagavad bhavama almana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadotama. In the devotee, the pure devotee state at that time. So, and that is, it is keeping this principle Vedavyasa Maharshi started writing Srimad Bhagavatam and Brahma Sutra. You will see. How does Bhagavatam begin? Janmadhyasya yato anyoya. Janmadhyasya yataha. That is the first word, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, the first word is Janmadhyasya yataha. In other words, what does that mean? Janmam adi asya yataha. That means all those things, what is taking birth, which means this whole creation, from where it has come, that truth. That is how that word you have to understand that. Janmadhyasya yato anyoyadi taradas. You may know that this particular verse, first verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into the commentaries of all the acharyas, they have taken hundreds of pages to explain that first verse. Why? Janmadhyasya yataha. Beginning with Janmadi asya yataha. Janma means birth. Adi asya. That means birth and where it sustains and where it eventually disappears. All that happens within me. Janmadhyasya yato anyoyadi taradas charteshu abhijna swarad tene brahma hrida ya adikavaye mukhyandiyal suraya tejo vari mridam yadha vinimayo yatratri sargo mrisha dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhagam satyam param dhimahi. That first verse, satyam param dhimahi. That satyam param dhimahi, it is from him janmadhyasya yataha. So that satyam, from whom all this janma adhyasyadaha, I pay my obeisances to him. This is how Vedavyasa Maharshi began Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look into Vedanta Sutram, what he says, the first sutram is Athado Brahma Jinyasa. Second sutram is janma adhyasyadaha. That is the second sutram. So there in Vedantam, importance is us, not the world. For science, world is important. These foolish people, these so-called scientists, they keep on researching. Where this is going to end, nobody knows. And in that process, all that they have done is made life more difficult for many people because of their lack of that depth of understanding. Unable to accept, because somehow or the other, Krishna hasn't given that understanding to them. That everything is coming from that vastu inside. Once they retouch that screen, then there is no more inquiry after that. Where will this inquiry end? You can imagine. They have taken the world as important. So many planets, millions and trillions of planets, isn't it? So many, and they are saying that they have now a program in the television. They are bringing about the universe. What they have reached, go and put a lot of telescopes and puts Milky Way they have taken into their telescopes, and they have put through and saying that we have seen this, so many stars here, and they themselves are saying the number of stars within this one universe which they say that they know. In this one universe, how much they know, what they say is the photographs they have got of all these dots everywhere. It's running into billions and trillions of stars, and they manage to. This all happens in that great land of America. Everything they have done this. And they have brought it out and said that they have understood everything. What an ignorance. What else can you say about that? This is called avidya. In Shastram, this is called avidya. They had completely gone off the track. Completely gone off the track. And if we cultivate this avidya more and more, what will happen? Finally, you have to leave this world in that thickness of that darkness of avidya inside, without any realization of the soul inside. It's not possible. If you culture this understanding more and deeper inside us, it's impossible to come to that sushma vastu inside. Vedantam, it says, withdraw your attention from the world, inward, go looking, there he is. Very clearly the sages are telling us, and we are saying, no, more and more telescope, go further and further and further into the sky, looking for where it's coming from. So, here you can see Janmadhyasya yataha. That is the most important statement. Where it has all taken birth, where it is remaining at the moment, where it is all going to die at the end, and that adhishtanam, that's me. That adhishtanam is me. When I say me, not the body, that andaryami inside, that is where everything is happening. Sankhyam also says the same thing. So one who sees the world, where is the world? World exists in his vision only. Exists in his vision only. Only in his vision the world exists. So while the Second World War was going on, what was it, 1939 to 1944. 1914-1918 is First World War, and Second World War is 1939 to 1945. At that time, you know, in the Second World War, all these things were, the whole world was in turmoil, isn't it? There was a lot of things happened, practically when the British ruled India at that time, there was restrictions on everything, supply of food and supply of electricity, water, in all kinds of ways there were restrictions on everything. They wanted everything under control. So the sages who are realized, they are not affected by all these things, isn't it? So Ramana Maharshi was in his ashram. Somebody asked him, there was a lot of propaganda we have to help the government to fight against the Germans who are Germany, Japan and Italy, I think. There were three powers together, isn't it? Control one group, another one was the Britain, France, America and all together. So India being at that time a colony, British colony, that India also had to support Britain in all these things. So anyway, because of that, in India also there was a lot of preparation for the war. Many soldiers fought in the war, in the Second World War, for the British. And a lot of the resources in India were directed for the war, were used for the war, manpower and the many, many resources also. So all over the country, there was a preparation for the war. Food, for example, was rationed, because most of the food was sent to the soldiers to fight, to the fighting for the battlefield, isn't it? So somebody asked Ramana Maharshi this question, that so much is done for the government for fighting the war, because we are in a small ashram here. There were other people also living there. They're asking him that we should also do something to help the government, isn't it? We should also do something to help the government. That is how nowadays it is. If the government is doing something, then everybody else pitch in with something of our own. We also collect money for the government to fight a war or things like that. All spiritual institutions does this thing. So when they asked this question to him, Ramana Maharshi asked him, in which world is the war going on? He said, he made it so simple to them that I'm not fighting any war going on. In whose world the war is going on? He asked this question. If you are feeling that the war is going on in your world, go and fight, he said to them. So practically, if you look at it, it is like that. Somebody starts a war in which you have nothing to do with it, and they felt the necessity to fight a war. They may drag you also physically, but in a realized state, you don't feel that there is a war going on. The war is also happening within you. Within you. If there is a war happening within you, you have to fight. You have to fight. He says, practically also, if you look at it, that is the truth. It is the truth. So, because the reason is, the one who is asking, don't we have to do anything? He also can't do anything. That is the reality. Because so many people have tried to do something. Could they do anything about it? So, on the other hand, if you live peacefully, and then there will be some shanti inside. There will be some shanti inside. That's all you can have in this situation. And if you are in peaceful state, those who are coming close to you, they will also have some shanti. Otherwise, if you are disturbed and if you start fundraising straight away and disturb everybody else's mind also with the same, you are creating another war for everybody practically than doing anything. So instead of giving peace inside within oneself, only for that one has to turn his attention to oneself with inside. So that is why Krishna is saying there, if you understand Bhagavad Gita, we won't go and do such foolish things. Sarvasya dhadhara machindya rupam. If you take your attention within, then Krishna is saying there, Sarvasya dhadharam achindya rupam. That who has this world, who is having this world, that awareness, Chaitanyam, living force, consciousness, prajnanam, adhishtanam, and that is that awareness within inside. Once you know that, then for you, there is no war after that. There is no war existing, isn't it? Till self-realization, all this so-called war you have to fight in this world. Once you realize the self, there is no war after that. That is where this understanding leads to. That's what Krishna is saying, all these things to us. So that he is saying that sarvasya dhadharam achintya rupam aditya varnam tamasa parastad. That sarvasya dhadharam, sarvasya dhadharam it is. The world is born by that antaryami inside, antaryami inside. So that awareness inside, that that mind, gross body, the mind, all this is thing and the false ego, all these three things, isn't it? I have my gross body, there is the mind, and there is the false ego. There is the false ego. So what does Krishna say to us in that 7th chapter? He says, Bhumi, Apam, Analam, Vayu, Kham, Mano, Buddhi, Ahankaram. Totally 8. All of those 8, Krishna is saying, Bhinna Prakriti Ashtatha. That is Ashtatha Prakriti, which is separate from us. And Abhareyam Itastanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param Jivabhudam. Abhareyam Itastanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param Jivabhudam. Jivabhudam is who is Yayadam Dharide Jagat, who is wearing this world. In other words, from in whom the world is appearing. Jivabhudam, that in whom the world is appearing. So that Jivabhudam, which we are, in our state, that is awareness is there in that Jivabhudam. I am thinking at the moment as I am Jiva, isn't it? I'm thinking as I am Jiva, due to the presence of false ego inside. Once the false ego goes there is no Jivabhavam anymore. There is no Jivabhavam anymore. It is that false ego that is creating this Jiva nature in me. Jiva nature in me. So here you can see mind, body and this false ego, that is one group. And I am separate. That means Aham Bodham is separate. Aham Karam is separate. Aham Bodham, remember this, we discussed this before. The same Krishna is saying here, Sa esha jivo vivara prasuti. That hole, we remember that hole we spoke about. There's a hole there. From there in the morning when you wake up, Ahankaram comes out from there. Ahankaram comes out. It is from the same hole that Aham Bodham also comes out. Awareness of our existence also comes out from the same hole. Goes back into the same hole. So here he says, so there is two I here. One is that Aham Bodham and the other one is Aham Karam. Isn't it? Aham Karam. Aham Karam is the false ego which is addressed as Jiva due to the presence of Jiva. And when Aham Karam goes away, that Aham Karam and Aham Bodham becomes only Bodham. Aham Bodham only then. There is no Aham Karam. Aham Karam is the illusion. Maya creates that inside us. So that Ahankaram and Aham Bodham. So Sarva Samanya Satta, that Aham Bodham is awareness and it is present in everybody. It's not localized, isn't it? Like I have awareness, you have awareness, you have all have awareness of yourself. And that is one, that is Aham Bodham. Therefore it is called Sarva Samanya Satta. That means it's present in everybody. It's present in everybody. And in there, we have this Ahankaram that is individualized, localized, individualized it is, isn't it? So, you see in English you say I, isn't it? But this I has two sides, I the false ego and I the awareness. So, I the awareness is individual, awareness is also there and Ahankaram and awareness, or Ahankaram and Aham Bodham, it comes from the same source, which is Hridayam Krit, as it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam also. So, because of this, it is like this, there is discussions among the jnanis about this. So, in the sadhana state, they will speak to the deity whom they are worshipping, whether it is Krishna or Vishnu or Narayana or Shiva, whichever form they are worshipping, they will have a relationship with the deity. And they would have spoken a lot of things to the deity in the sadhana stage. They would have cried, they would have prayed, and they would have shown all of them. You can see Alvars, Anmars, and all the great devotees, Jnaneshwar, all of them, in their life in this world, they have been addressing to the deity and talking to them about their distress, about their problems and other things. But that is in the stage where they have not completely reached that perfection stage. So, when they become realized and when they start speaking and writing, all those experiences what they went through, they will write all that in their writings. They'll put it in writing. Siddha Dasha. It's called Siddha Dasha. Siddha Dasha means that they have reached the state of perfection. Siddhi. Siddhi has come to them. But Siddha Dasha, all these previous experiences in their early days in spiritual life, whatever they have gone through, all that will come in a collected way. Collected form will come out in their writings. That is what you find when you read Jnaneshwari or when you read Alvars Nalayiram Prabandham and Nayanmar's Tevaram and all that, you see what they have gone through. What they have gone through in their sadhana stage also. So, they will express all that, what they have gone through and what they have spoken to the deity in their sadhana stage. You will see this. What they have spoken to the deity whom they were worshipping in their sadhana stage, they will put that all in their Siddha stage also. When they start writing, they'll start singing about that, what they have gone through in their life. So they may not have been doing sadhana in this life. They may have performed sadhana in the previous lifetimes also. Or sometimes they will think themselves as they are in the sadhana stage and they may have written that. Very difficult to say these things. How much sadhana they have executed in this life. Obviously, these great personalities, great devotees, great jnanis, great yogis, they didn't start their spiritual life in this particular lifetime. They must have started many lifetimes before. Many lifetimes before. And what you are seeing today in form of this great devotee or jnani or a yogi in this life is only a very final days of their spiritual life in this world. That's what they are seeing here. So you have to look back into their history, and when they have expressed certain songs or what they have put it in writing, all these great personalities, you can see their reflections of the past in the sadhana days, what they have gone through in their spiritual life. That's what you are reading actually from that. So they may have written these things. They may ask, how will I realize you? All these kind of questions, they will put it in their writing also. So, and they also ultimately they are saying, if you are somebody who is separated from me, I can realize it outside. But that is not possible because you are sitting within me, inside me. How will I see you? Their questions. Because if I have to see you, then I should not exist. Ahankaram cannot exist, isn't it? Ahankaram cannot see him. Therefore, then they start realizing that awareness inside itself is what I am looking for. Awareness or avabodham is only one of the signals that's coming from that truth inside Antaryami. So, Mahavakya Parol, because that is, if you have heard about this Mahavakyam, Tattvamasi. That Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, that is what it means. That Shvetaketu asks this question to his teacher, Guru. He says to him that the truth what you are looking for is you, he says to him. That tattvam is with inside you, he finally points out there. So finally what we are doing is asking that Antaryami inside to reveal to us his identity. Once that identity is revealed, then I don't exist anymore, only that Antaryami exists after that inside. But in order that the light from that Antaryami must come to my intelligence and my mind, and otherwise it's not going to happen. At the moment my mind and intelligence is controlling me all the time. It's not allowing me for that light to come out from that Antaryami in me. So in order that the light to come and shine in my intelligence, shine in my mind and eventually manifest as that, Ahankaram or false ego should not come on the way. It should not come on the way. So that is why when we ask this question, aham, aham, when it's coming from, Ahankaram will go away. Aham Bodham will eventually manifest. So you can see how this Ahankaram, false ego inside, who from whom Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam comes, who experiences Ragam, Dvesham, is it not? Who identifies with the body, mind, intelligence? Who goes through Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti? Who makes us think that I am a boyhood, youthhood, old age, death? Who puts all these experiences because of the Ahankaram only? Only because of the presence of false ego inside, all these material miseries also exist simultaneously with us. When that Ahankaram dies away, when it dies, what will happen? No more Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, no more birth, death, old age and disease, no more Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardhakyam, no more any of these miseries of the material world, all disappears along with that, with the death of the false ego. And with that, Jiva Bodham also goes away. If you remember those famous verses in the Upanishads, remember those two birds sitting on the tree. That bird which came out from the other bird and started jumping from one branch to another, eating the fruit and found it bitter and sometimes bitter and sometimes sweet. And finally, after eating a lot of bitter fruits, it goes back again, joins the other bird who is never touched any fruit. So we have to get back to that fruit, to that bird again. So same thing is spoken in different ways in the Upanishads also. You can see there that this Ahankaram or false ego, when it comes out, therefore continuously if you give attention to that, it will not wake up all the time. It will not wake up all the time. We have not given any attention to the false ego. Therefore, if you don't give attention, it will wake up. That is the nature of Jiva Handa. Jiva. That is how we have become Jiva. Jiva Handa it is called. When you have not given attention to that, immediately it will swallow you. It will swallow you. So here you can see that that example of a snake and the rope, isn't it? So what is the difference here? So first, initially in that example, you saw the temporarily you saw the snake. So you saw the rope. And snake disappeared, isn't it? When you saw the rope, the snake disappeared. But if you look into our own experience, you can see here that till our vasanas disappears from inside, vasana kshayam, it is called vasana kshayam. Till all the vasanas disappears from inside, in a very subtle level, if you look at it, you can see that when vasana kshayam happens, the snake will disappear. And the rope will appear. And the rope will appear. And if you become a little careless, ajagrada, that means not alert, if you become careless, again the snake will come back, rope will go. Snake will come back and the rope will go. It's only an example to show to us that if you are not alert all the time, very easily you can slip from that state of awareness. Therefore, all the time not to fall into that Brahmam. Brahmam. What is a Brahmam? Brahmam is this. I am a separate Jiva and that is my Brahmam.
I am a separate jiva. All of us are thinking like that, isn't it? I am suffering. I got all these problems. One day, I will reach that. This is what we are living. Krishna is saying to us, there is no one day like that going to. If it has to happen, it has to happen now. Otherwise, it won't happen, he says. But all of us are in spiritual life with the thinking that we'll do all these things now. One day, when that one day comes, it will happen. That's what we are, most of us are thinking. Everybody is doing spiritual life with this understanding. But Krishna is saying that cannot be true because you are already that. What it is only a Brahman is that in us which makes us think that we are something different. We are something different. So when that ahankaram or false ego, when we hold on to that truth, what Krishna has spoken, and we do the sadhana, so at that time you will know that here it is the same person who has come in the form of jiva inside, who this aham bodham, he has come as ahangaram. They give the example that in one big house there was a theft. So they informed the police came looking for the thief in the house. So at that time, what did the thief do? Thief also dressed up like a policeman and joined the police to searching for the thief. Will you find the thief? And that's exactly this ahangaram inside is. Ahambodham has come dressed up like ahangaram due to creation of vasanas inside. Once the vasanas disappears, there is no ahangaram anymore. All ahangaram goes away. All the vasanas gone, ragadvesham is gone, ahangara kshayam will automatically will happen, and there is only ahambodham. So in a similar way, so if the thief dressed up like police and starts, if you keep on looking for the thief, you will never find the thief, isn't it? Similarly, I am at the moment thinking, I am doing sadhana, I am like the thief actually. Because I am doing sadhana, I am like that. Because I am thinking separately from him. And here, you won't find a Brahman, Atma, Bhagavan. So this understanding itself is, I am separately from him, I am doing so many things, I am always separate. And I will find him one day somewhere. In Vedantam, it's called Moola Vidya. Moola Vidya means primeval ignorance. Very fundamental ignorance in a person. So, so if you recognize this, this accept this ignorance, then the then you will get somewhere. Otherwise, it is the mathematics in the first step itself is a mistake. So, you will never be able to reach that state. So, even in the bhakti process, if you look at it in this way, bhakti also, if you somehow or the other, if this false ego has gone away, you may escape from here. You may not realize everything, but at least you will escape if this false ego disappears from inside. So on a practical level, if you look at it, you will see that in the jnanam process also, it is spoken in this way. Jnanamargam also you can escape, provided you may not realize the whole truth. But if this false ego somehow goes away from inside, then you can escape in the Jnanamargam as well as in the Bhakti Margam. Because directly, if you take the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, and only if you hear this again and again, it will come established inside. In the bhakti process, how do you escape? Because bhakti has to be pure. Only then. Bhakti has to be pure. And only Krishna exists, I don't exist. This is the principle in the bhakti. Only Krishna exists, I don't exist. Because the so-called I, whom I am identifying with, is all my false ego. That's what existing at the moment. In the bhakti process. So, therefore, naham naham tvam tvam. Many great devotees have said this. Only you exist, I don't exist. So, it's like a mantram in the Vedam, which has dressed up like in the dress of a bhakti process and came out in that way. In bhakti process, only Krishna exists. I don't exist. Kabir also mentions the same thing. Tu tu karta, tu daya mujme nahi rahu, he says. Kabir says this. But you, only you are the doer, you are the enjoyer, you exist. I don't, he says to him. So, everything he says to Ramachandra in that way, only you exist. So, and when he started inquiring, he started realizing he doesn't exist anymore. He can only see him. Everything is Ramachandra. So, it's 4 o'clock, we'll start a short break then. Okay. So, we are looking at this verse which Krishna is saying to Arjuna that prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruor madhye pranam avesha samyak sadambaram purusham upaidi divyam. He mentions that purvam hridaya pundarike vashikritya chittam tataha urdhvagaminyam nadhya bhumi jayakramena bruor madhye pranam avesha sthapayitva samyak apramataha san sa evam buddhiman yogim kavim puranam ityadi lakshanam tam purusham upaidi pradivedyade divyam dyodanatmakam. What it's saying is that as we saw in the beginning, one after the other, that chit, remember this, we talked, mentioned that before, that chit shakti inside, when it starts rising, it starts breaking up with the different material elements in each stage. Bhumika, they call it. Yoga Bhumika. Yoga Bhumika is this, that Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasraram, like that, different Bhumika. Each Bhumika, it breaks away from one material element and eventually it breaks away with the mind's Ajna Chakram, where it comes here. Then from then onwards, mind is not there. This is from the yoga point of view, from Patanjali's yoga point of view. At that point, Ajna Chakram, Andaryami takes over everything. From there to Sahasraram, everything is managed by the Andaryami inside. All these subtleties are unknown to the science, unknown to the, they just don't know about it. They are arguing, keep on arguing about matter, matter, matter. Everything centered around the matter. Whereas you can see here that Krishna is saying to us that Patanjali's Yoga Sutram and Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam, Jnana Margam, and even the Bhakti Margam also all leads to the same process of escaping from the different stages, steps. What is mentioned? Jnana Bhumika or Yoga Bhumika, it's mentioned. So here he mentioned, Hridaya Pundarike Vashikrityam Chittam Tata Urdhvagaminyam. Urdhvagaminyam means it's on its way up. It's on its way up. Nadhyam Bhumi Jayakramena. That means each Bhumika. They call it Bhumika. Bhumika means each stage. That means Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddhi, Ajna. They are all Bhumikas. Bhumika means a stage where you get there and then move from there to the next one, like that. Kramena Bruor Madhye. Gradually Bruor Madhye. This is the Bruor Madhyam. This place where this junction. Kramena Madhye Pranam Avesha. Pranan has arrived there. Pranan is that Chit Shakti, what is coming from inside. Sthapayitva Samyak Apramatta Sansa Evam Buddhiman Yogim Kavim Puranam Ityadi Lakshanam. All that Krishna has spoken in the last verse. Which one? Kavim Puranam Anishasidaram Anor Aniyam Anusasmaredya Sarvasya Dhadharam Ajindya Rupam, Aditya Varnam, Tamasaparasa. Contemplation of that has led that to him. Ityadi Lakshanam, Tam Purusham Upaidi. That Purusham, he reaches there. Pratibadhyade Divyam Dhyodanal Magam. So, when we are winning over, every time you free from one material element, Panchabhudam, one of the material elements, through the through the Urdhvagamanam. Urdhvagamanam means going up. Urdhvagamanam is called going up. So through Urdhvagamanam, you are winning over the five material elements and also same time you have to win over their subtle aspect. What is the subtle aspect? Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. These are the tanmatra, they call it in the shastra. Earth, water, air, ether and fire, the five material elements. And their subtle aspect is shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Sound for the sky, shabdam. Touch for air, sparsham. Rupam for form, for fire, for shabdam, sparsham. Rasam, gandham for the earth, rasam for the water, and what is left then? Shabdam, sparsham, rupam. Rupam for the fire. Rupam for the fire. No. It is gandham, smell for the earth. And rasam for taste for the water. Water. Gandham for the earth and rasam for the water. So, shabdam, rasam. Then, rupam for the fire, rupam for the fire, and sparsham for the air, and then shabdam for the sky. So, those five material elements we have to win. Along with that, we also have to win over the subtle elements, the subtlety of that. That is their tanmatra, they call it in the shastra, because from tanmatra came their gross form. From tanmatra came the gross form. That is how in the creation, if you study Bhagavatam, you will see, explains there how the creation happens. So, from the subtle creation, the gross creation has come. So, both the subtleties and the grossness, both we have to come out. And gradually, yogi, who has not made any mistake in this yoga process, eventually he comes and realizes that Purusham here. That what mentions in that verse, sarvasya dadaram achindya rupam aditya varnam tamasa parastat. By realization he realizes there, and from after that to sahasraram, that he doesn't have to do, it is done by the antaryami from inside. Antaryami does that everything from inside. So he reaches the purusha already. When he is there, he's already got there in that state. From then on, puna abhi वक्ष्यमाणेन उपायेन प्रदीप्सितस्य ब्रह्मणो वेदविद्वद्विवदनादि विशेषेण विशेष्यस्य अभिधानं करोति भगवान. From now on, what Krishna is going to say is, after he has reached that state, in this bruor madhye pranamavesha samyak, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? See that bruor madhye prana, why importance given here? Why is this importance given here? Because once he has reached at this point, mind goes. Once the mind is gone, he is already there. Once the mind is gone. But from then on, taking it up to Sahasraram, and through Sahasraram, the Sahasraram means the hole here, somewhere on the top of the head. The yogis have a way of breaking it open, apparently, in their Hatha Yoga process. They can break it open here. At the time, once it has reached the Sahasraram, if it has to exist from here, they have to break it open. So they smash it with a stone and break it open, it seems, for the soul to escape from there. So, same Krishna is saying here, Bruor Madhya Pranam Avesha Samyak. If he has come to Bruor Madhyam here, Bruor Madhyam means between these two eye, it's right in this point. Bruor Madhya Pranam Avesha Samyak. Satam Param Purusham Upaidi Divyam. Once it has got there, he knows that Purusha. Param Purusha. He knows that Purusha, what he is talking about. Isn't it? That Purusha, what we have discussed in the previous words. That's what he is saying. The Purusha, what we have talked about in the verse 9. Kavim Purana Manushasidaram Anoraniyam. That he is talking about that Purusha. That Purusha will be realized by the time it gets here. By now, he has lost its connection with all the subtle elements. The material elements. Five material elements, their subtleties, and also the mind has also gone now. Then there is nothing left after that. So that is this verse talking about, which we have seen now in the last hour. We talked about that. So when the devotee's case or in the jnani's case, we have got this jiva inside, jiva handa, ahambhavam, and then also ahangaram in other words, and also we have that ahambodham. Krishna spoke about that before, they both come from the same source, from the same source. So whether or a devotee or a jnani, doesn't matter, both of them have to come out of this ahangaram, isn't it? False ego. That is what is causing all the problems. As long condition state means ahangaram. Condition state. We say conditioned soul, we say, isn't it? We have to liberate all the conditioned souls in this world. So who is this conditioned soul? Conditioned soul is nothing but who has got, we are also conditioned souls. We say only others are conditioned souls. No, everybody is conditioned. We are all conditioned souls. So conditioned souls, as long as there is ahangaram inside, is a conditioned soul. When the ahangaram goes away, only Krishna exists, that is ahambodham. Only Krishna, only that awareness inside, which is nothing but coming from Krishna. So Kabir also mentions the same thing. So eventually when he looks after a long time practice of jnana margam or yoga margam or bhakti margam, he realizes that he has no proper existence, which means the jiva handa, false ego, has no permanent existence. And like he mentions there, Upanishad says like this, Brahmajit Brahma Bhuvanam, Brahma Bhuda Parambaraha, Brahmaham, Brahmavit, Brahmavit Mitra Bandavaha, Shatruhu. Brahmavit Mitra Bandavaha, Brahmavit Shatruhu. There is no second thing except Brahmam. Only Brahmam exists. Everything is that awareness, that consciousness present there. In our Vyavaharam stage, in transactions, it will be there always. What is that? This ahanda, I am somebody, and I am so and so. Only then you can do Vyavaharam in this world, isn't it? You need that false ego to do Vyavaharam in this world. But when you come to this stage, when it comes to this point, when mind has gone away, then there is no more Vyavaharam anymore. So therefore the Upanishads, they call it as Dagdha Padam. Dagdha Padam, Dagdha Raju. Two examples they give here. In other words, what it means is, Dagdha Raju means, suppose a rope, rope is made of coir or something. So that coir rope, once it is, if you burn it, completely burned, it will burn well. But what exists then? The rope exists, but you can't use it anymore. It goes into bits, isn't it? It breaks into bits. You can't use it. But if you look at it, it exists like a rope. The shape, it exists like a rope, but it's completely burned and you can't use it anymore. That is the example of Dagdha Raju. Dagdha Raju mentions here. But you can't use it for any purpose. So, in appearance, it may look like a rope, but you can't use it anymore. Similarly, if you try something with that, it will break, isn't it? So, similarly, a dhoti also, this is Dagdha Padam. If you burn this dhoti, slowly it will burn and it will lie like that. In appearance, it will look like a dhoti. But everything is burned. You can't take it and use it as a dhoti anymore. It is called Dagdha Padam. So, Dagdha Padam and Dagdha Raju. Dagdha Raju. That's what they call it, the words. In the Vedantam, they use these words. Dagdha Padam and Dagdha Raju. So, similarly, either through the process of Jnana Margam, through the Almavijaram, through the constant chasing after this Ahamvritti and realizing the truth in that way, eventually wiping out himself, the Ahangaram, from inside completely, through the process of Jnana Margam. Or through Sharadagati, surrendering completely everything to Krishna through the process of Bhakti Margam. Either of these two ways. Either through Jnana Margam, through spiritual inquiry, constantly following these instructions of Krishna has spoken, holding on to that Ahamvritti very carefully and becoming 24 hours in that state, remaining in that way, that's only possible for very exalted people who can do that, who have that kind of detachment from this world. In that way, they process through that, they become, eventually realizes that only Krishna exists. Ahambodham only exists, Ahangaram doesn't exist. Ahangaram completely disappears from inside. Or through the process of bhakti, through complete surrender to Krishna, Sharanagati, that I don't know anything, everything is left to Krishna. Let Krishna do what he wants. Whatever happens in life, without any complaint, accepting it. There also, Ahankaram will eventually die out. If we have surrendered in that way. If we are completely surrendered in that way. So, what it mentions here is that, if it happens that way, it will be like that. It will be like this dhoti which is burned, or like the rope which is burned. Externally, it may appear that the body is there, mind is there, senses are there, everything is there, but at the same time, the whole inside subtle body is burned. Subtle body is completely burned. Na kurude droham swalma ramasya. So, even in that situation, it will not do any harm to him, any create any difficulties for him, because everything is burned inside. It will not create. Sarvasya dadara majindya rubam aditya varnam tamasa parastad. Krishna is saying here that that sarvasya dadara majindya rubam aditya varnam tamasa parastad. Krishna is saying that Andaryami inside, when that subtle body is completely burned, he will shine inside in a very powerful way. Krishna will shine inside. In other words, all our realization from the subtle body goes away and completely become part with the Andaryami. Andaryami. That is what those two lines talking about. Sarvasya dhadharam achindya rupam aditya varnam tamasa parastat. In other words, through Jnanamargam, all ignorance has gone away from inside. Ignorance is there. Remember, we mentioned that. That is why in the Sushupti state, we have that thick covering of that avidya. Sushupti state. So, through the process of Jnanamargam, you have managed to bring that happiness of the Sushupti state into the vacant state. That means complete avidya has gone. That's when it happens. Or, through the process of bhakti and sharanagati and surrender, you have managed to surrender to such an extent that avidya has gone away from inside. Krishna is saying here that Krishna will appear in the heart, Atma or Brahman, or that Andaryami will shine inside at that point, like a sun. That's what Krishna is saying there. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastad. Tamas is gone, darkness is gone, avidya is gone, ajnanam is gone, and inside all that remains is that Andaryami in its pure identity. Our identity also gone. Our identity has become that Andaryami inside. That's our identity. At the moment we don't know. We are identifying as Jiva. And Jiva means Ahankaram, false ego. So, false ego has to completely go from inside. We know what this false ego means, what it does, isn't it? False ego is not, everybody has false ego. Nobody is not free from that. If your false ego is completely gone, means you have realized the truth. So, it's no point in running courses on all these things. It's not going to help anybody. We are telling how to become humble, a course on that. How can you do that? If you run a course on how to become humble, some people ask this question, isn't it? How do we become humble? Then run a course on that, or seminar on that. And it will not work, simply won't work. What is required here is, Krishna is saying to us that Kavim Puranam Anushasidaram Anoraniyamsam Anusmaredya. This realize either through Jnanamargam it has to happen. It has to be such powerful inquiry, so strong that complete by hearing alone it has to happen. Sarvasya dhadara machindya rupam aditya varnam tamasa parasa. And you have to break away from this ajnanam avidya through the process of knowledge. One. Alternatively, by the process of bhakti, surrender. Surrender will help. Then all these things will happen. If you are completely surrendered to Krishna. So, this is the only way. There is no other way. This is not an intellectual exercise. This is for realization. This is. So, that's what he's saying here. That either through Sharanagati, which means surrender, bhakti, or through Jnanamargam, spiritual inquiry, process of inquiry, either way. So, these called Swalmarama. Swalmarama, കുരുതേ ദ്രോഹം സ്വാത്മാരാമസ്യ. വൺ ഹി ഹാസ് റീച്ച് ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്, ബോഡി ആൻഡ് അതർ തിങ്സ് വോണ്ട് ഡു എനി ഹാം ടു ഹിം. ഇറ്റ് വോണ്ട് ക്രിയേറ്റ് എനി ഡിസ്റ്റർബൻസസ് ഫോർ ഹിം, വോണ്ട് ക്രിയേറ്റ് എനി പ്രോബ്ലംസ് ഫോർ ഹിം. സർവസ്യ ധാതാരം അചിന്ത്യ രൂപം ആദിത്യവർണം തംസ പരസ്താത്. അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം ലൈക്ക് എ സൺ, ലൈക്ക് എ സൺ ഈസ് ഷൈനിങ്, അന്തര്യാമി വിൽ ഷൈൻ ഇൻസൈഡ് എ പേഴ്സൺ. ഇൻ ദി ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം, ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ദ ഭാഗവതം, യു വിൽ സീ ദർ നവയോഗീസ് വെൻ ടു ഡിസ്കസ് വിത്ത് ഹൂ, നിമി, ഇസ്നെ, വെൻ ടു ഡിസ്കസ് വിത്ത് നിമി. അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം എ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ കെയിം അപ്പ്, ഹൂ ഈസ് നാരായണ? റിമെമ്പർ ദാറ്റ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ. ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ വാസ് എ ഫസ്റ്റ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ വാസ് കവി ആസ്ക്ഡ് എ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഭാഗവത ധർമ്മം? ദാറ്റ് വാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ബൈ ആൻസേർഡ് ബൈ കവി, 12 വേഴ്സസ്. Then he asked, what is the symptoms of a devotee? Who answered that? Hari. Hari answered that. Then the question came, what is Maya? Andariksha answered that. Kavi, Hari, Andariksha. Then how to cross over Maya? That was answered by Prabuddha. Prabuddha answered that. Kavi, Hari, Andariksha, Prabuddha. At that question came, at the end of that answer from Prabuddha, he said, you have to become completely realized Narayana, he said. He used the word Narayana there. So the question came, who is Narayana? At that time, Pipalayana Maharshi answered, who is Narayana? If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. Let's look at that verse. Just to see that how Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam go so well together to talking about the same truth. If you look into the 11th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 35. Of course, we have gone through these verses before, but it is good to know that there is a connection with Bhagavad Gita also. All those, when we discuss, 11.3.35. There is Pipalayana Maharshi's answer. The king asked, who? Nimi. Nimi asked the question, Narayana Abhidanasya Brahmana Paramalpana Nishta Marhathano Vaktum Uyam Hi Brahmavitama. That is the question on 34th verse from the king. Isn't it? Narayana Abhidanasya Brahmana Paramalpana. Can you explain to us about this Narayana who you are talking about? Whose form is Brahman? And can you, in Abhidanasya Brahmana Paramalpana Nishtham Arhati No Vaktum Uyam Hi Brahmavitama. Because he says to Pipalayana that you are a realized soul. And can you explain to us about this Brahman? What this Brahman means, whom you have addressed as Narayana also in the earlier verses. So, because if you look into verse 33, when Prabuddha finished his answer to King Nimi, he said that Idi Bhagavadan Dharman Shikshan Bhaktya Taduthaya Narayana Paro Maya Anjastaradi Dustaram. That is the verse, isn't it? 34, 33. Narayana Paro Maya Anjastaradi Dustaram. So, once who have understood Bhagavad Dharmam, and he has practiced Bhagavad Dharmam, bhakti process, he can, who has become Narayana Para. Narayana Para means, here Bhagavad Dharmam is discussed, which means the process of bhakti. Through the bhakti margam, he has become Narayana Para. Narayana Para means completely surrendered, sharanagati, total sharanagati has happened to him. And he can easily cross over the maya, he says. Maya starati dustaram. Maya anjastarati dustaram. He can cross over the Maya very easily, he said. When he said that, Prabuddha said this, the king asked, who? The king Nimi asked that question. Narayana Abhidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Nishtam Arhata Novaktum Yoyam Hi Brahmavitama. Who is this Narayana? What is this Narayana? And you have explained to him as he is Brahmana Paramatmana, Brahmam Paramatma, Narayana. You are called by different names. What is it? That is his question. What is his Swarupam? Whom you addressed as Narayana, Paramatma and Brahmam. You called him by the three names in these earlier verses. Like in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it says, isn't it? Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyade. That vastu, what is its Swarupam? He is asking. What is he? You Paramatmana Nishtam Arhatano Vaktum. Talk to us about him. He says, about that Narayana. So, it is then that the next verse, Pipalayana Vacha. Pipalayana Maharshi says, what is Narayana means? Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralaya Hedu Ahedu Rasya. Yet, Sopna Jagara Sushuptishu Sad Bahishcha. Dehendriyasu Hridayani Charandi Yena. Sanjeevidani Tadavehi Param Narendra. There is five beautiful verses, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. All about Narayana. What does Narayana means? All that, 35 to 40. Six verses, isn't it? Yeah, six verses. All these six verses, very important in the Bhagavatam. If anybody want to understand what is God, people are asking this question, isn't it? They are fighting about something without any basics in there. They are arguing each other. Where does your God exist? Where does he live? Have you seen him? These are the questions they are asking. Who all these big people, they are asking. And then they are saying, okay, that is your religion, is it? Oh, that's your religion, is it? Oh, that's okay. Religion is okay. Then okay, if it's giving you some peace of mind, you can have that religion. But this is not peace of mind and religion. This is the science behind. If you want to understand the truth, this is how the rishis, the sages has given us. They are telling us, Stityulbhava pralaya hedura hedurasya yal sapna jagara susuptishu sadbahischa dehendriyasu hridayani charandiyena sanjeevidani tadavehi param narendra. Naidanmano vishadi vaguda chakshuralma pranendriyani jayathanalamarchishaswam shabdhobi bhodhakanishedhadayalma moolam arthoktamaha yadyade nanishedha siddhi sattvam rajasthamaydi trivrdegamadav sutram mahanahamidi pravadandi jivam jnanakriyartha balarupadayoru shakti brahmaiva bhadi sadasachadayo paramyal almaja jananamarishadi naithadesav Nachiyade Samanavya Vidya Bijarinam hi Sarvatra Shashun Adama Yubalabdhimatram Prano Yathendriya Balena Vigalpidam Sad Andeshu Peshu Daru Shavinishchideshu Prano hi Jeeva Ubathavadi Tatra Tatra Sanned Indriya Gane Hamija Prasupte Kudastam Ashemade Tadanu Smritirnaham Yerhyabjanaba Charaneshanayoru Bhaktya Chedomalani Vidhame Gunakarma Jani Tasmin Vishuddham Ubalabhyadam Almadatvam Sakshadyadam Amaladrisho Savitra Prakasha. These six verses, there is no better description about if somebody asks, what is God? What is God? Where is God? This is God. These verses will tell you in detail about, if you have the time and patience to listen, then it will mean a lot. It will mean a lot. We have discussed these verses when we discussed that chapter. Please go back to that if you have time and see what we talked about that at that time. So there we have seen here that first verse itself, Stityulbhava Pralaya Hedura Heturasya, that the birth, Ulpati in other words, its sustenance, where it survives and it dissolves, where does that happen? That is within us. We talked about that Antaryami. Vedantam is like that. Similarly, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. All these three states. And when all these things happening, the thing which doesn't change. When all these things changes are happening. And who is present inside us as awareness. Naidan Manodi, you can see that verse. That here, what Shukha Brahmarshi has done, he has brought Sankhyam and Vedantam together. In those verses. You may think that all this darshanam has all come from the sages. They are all highlighting certain aspects of the truth. And in this particular verse you can see Sankhyam and Vedantam has come together in that verse. In that verse 36. If you look, you will see there that Sthiti ചിത്യുത്ഭവ പ്രളയഹേതുരഹേതുരസ്യ യത് സ്വപ്നജാഗര സുഷുപ്തിഷു സദ്ബഹിശ്ച ദേഹേന്ദ്രിയാസു ഹൃദയാനു ചരന്തിയേന സഞ്ജീവിതാനി തദവേഹി പരം നരേന്ദ്ര. ഹി മെൻഷൻസ് ദയർ ഇസ്നിർ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഇൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ഹി സൈസ് നൈതന്മനോ വിശദി വാകുത ചക്ഷുരാത്മാ പ്രാണേന്ദ്രിയാണി ജയധാനലമർച്ചിഷസ്വാൽ ശബ്ദോഭി ഭോതക നിഷേധതയ ആത്മമൂലം അർത്ഥോക്തമാഹയദൃതേത ന നിഷേധ സിദ്ധീം. സോ വേർ ഡ സാഖ്യം കംസ് ഹിയർ? സാഖ്യം കംസ് ഹിയർ സെയിങ് ലൈക്ക് ദിസ്: ഐ എം നോട്ട് ദിസ് ബോഡി, ഐ എം നോട്ട് ദ മൈൻഡ്, ഐ എം നോട്ട് ദി ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ്, ഐ എം നോട്ട് ദ ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ, ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് റിമെയിൻസ് ഇഫ് യു റിജക്ട് ആഫ്റ്റർ ഓൾ ദോസ് തിങ്സ്? ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ദ വസ്തു. വസ്തു ഈസ് ദാറ്റ്, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഓബ്ജെക്ട്. സോ So here, the Sankhyam, the problem is, Acharya Swamiji also mentions that in the commentary here. He says here, Shabdhobi bodhaka nishedhaka atmamoolam arthoktamaha yadrudeyana nishedha siddhi. That means, Naidan mano vishadi vaguda chakshur atma pranendriyani cha yadhan alamarchishaswal ശബ്ദോഭി ബോധക നിഷേധത ആത്മമൂലം അർത്ഥോക്തമാഹ എതിർതേ ന നിഷേധ സിദ്ധി. സേസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ്. സോ ഇഫ് യു വാണ്ട് ടു റിജക്ട് എവറിഥിങ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദ ബോഡി, ദ മൈൻഡ്, ദ ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ്, ദ ഈഗോ, യു ആർ റിജക്ടിങ് വൺ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദി അതർ, നൺ ഓഫ് ദിസ്, നോട്ട് ദിസ്, നോട്ട് ദിസ്, നോട്ട് ദിസ്, നോട്ട് ദിസ്, നേതി നേതി. ബട്ട് ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ടു ഡു ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ദർ മസ്റ്റ് ബി സംവൺ ഹു ഹാവ് ടു ഡിനൈ എവറിഥിങ് ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ്. The person has to be there. Arthoktamaha yadrudena nishedha siddhi. He mentions there like that. So, and there must be a vastu who is able to deny everything. Nishedham. Nishedham means to reject everything, isn't it? To reject everything. But after that, what remains at that point? The awareness, that's what remains after that, isn't it? So here it mentions here, if you do it like this way, awareness and the vastu what you have rejected, two separate, that is Sankhyam. Prakriti and Purushan. Purushan rejecting all this is Prakriti. What you are rejecting is Prakriti, isn't it? Prakriti does not mean this creation only. Includes the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, everything you are rejected. Ultimately what remains, there is a person who is rejecting it, that's Purusha. And he is, in Sankhyam it is like that. That you are rejecting everything, that means Drik is there, Drisham is there. Drik is there, Drisham is there. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, the world, everything is Drisham. The seer is the drik. Seer is the drik. So here also you can see, if you'll come and stay in that dual state, duality, drikka drishyam, isn't it? We reach that state where there is drikka as well as drishyam. And I'm not this body and I'm only a witness to everything. It is not good enough if you say that I am a witness, because then it is Sankhyam. Then it is Sankhyam. So, so in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see mind, intelligence, all these things are rejected. And after Yadha Analarchisha Swaha. So, from a big fire, sparks of fire are coming out. And because it's coming out from the fire, it's also fire. It's coming from the fire, it's also fire. Similarly, ones who have realized the soul, self-realization, ones who has realized the self as the soul, mind, intelligence, senses, body, everything are sparks that has come from that big fire of the self. For that person who has realized the self, he will see at that time that the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is nothing but sparks of that big fire inside the self. That is the way he will be seeing that at that time. So, that does not mean that it is not separate from that at the same time. It is coming from that, but it is not separate from that. So, you will see here, after coming to that stage, he starts realizing that they are not different from the Antaryami inside. Initially, you have to reject everything. Then you have to accept also finally. And then it becomes Vedantam. So, Sangyam turns to Vedantam at that stage. Do you see that difference? Initially, we will say, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not this ego. Everything I have to reject. And I go back to the source, awareness. And I realize the self in that way. When I have realized that awareness, I am that awareness. Tattva Bodham, through Tattvam. I'm realized that. Then when I look back, I realize that all these are sparks that has come from that same source of fire. At that time, I see that they don't exist separately. They all exist within him. It becomes one, and that is Vedantam. So Vedantam and Sangyam changes its... Sangyam accepts two, Vedantam accepts only one. That's the difference. That's why Krishna mentioned in the... Krishna is with the Vedantam. Sankhyam Krishna accepts up to that point. But if you look into the 28th chapter in that 11th canto, what did Krishna say there? 28th chapter. If you go on looking at it, you will see there that Parasvabhava Karmani, the first verse, 28th chapter, Sri Bhagavan Uvacham, Paramasatyam, absolute truth is discussed now. Parasvabhava Karmani na prashamsay na grahayet Vishwam Ekalmakam. There is only one. There is no two. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan. But that is known prakritya purushenacha. But it is ekalpagam. And then he says that parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsati nindadi sa ashu brashyade sartva satyam abhiniveshada. If you keep looking at that, you will see then Krishna says there that whole nine verses there is the gem of that chapter. Is a real Vedantam it is, pure Vedantam, unadulterated Vedantam that is. Krishna is saying here that Taijase Nidrayabhane Pindasto Nashta Jetana Mayam Prapnodi Mrityumva Tadvat Nanartha Drik Puman. Variegatedness is only due to Avidya, Krishna is saying. Nanartha Drik means seeing different things in this world. Everything breaking up. Science is breaking up everything, isn't it? Vedantam says there is only one. Don't break up. Don't break it. This is everything in an opposite way. Whatever Vedantam is doing, right opposite science is doing. And Vedantam saying to the science that you are going deeper and deeper into ignorance if you go in that route. And science is saying to us, oh, that's your religion, is it? You can keep it. They think that this is all religion. This is not religion. This is knowledge. Realization it is. Only thing is, it's coming from great personalities who have practiced and realized it, and they found the truth in that. That is the only... This is not any religion. Krishna is not saying any religion here, that one God is sitting somewhere up there, whom you have to sit here and think about him, and eventually he'll go back. They are asking the same question. Oh, in one religion it says you can go and enjoy. In another religion says you can go there and you can have a big party there. Your God is like this, and how does he look like? They only know this thing called God in this way. They can't understand God in any other form. Whereas Krishna is mentioning here, Taijase Nidraya Bhane Pindasto Nashta Chayetana Mayam Prapnodi Mrityam Va Tadvak Nanartha Drik Puman Kim Badram Kim Abhadram Va Taijasya Vastune Kvachal Kiyad Vajodidam Tad Amridam Manaso Dhyadame Vava Chaya Pratyahvaya Bhasa Asando Pyarthagarina Evam Dehadeo Bhava Yachandya Murtido Bhayam Almaivatadidam Vishwam Srijade Srijadi Prabhu Trayade Tradi Vishwalpa Hriyade Haradi Ishwara. That verse is very important. Sixth verse. Then Almaivatadidam Vishwam. The whole creation is nothing but Alma. Then what else he says? Srijade Srijadi Prabhu. Srijade Srijadi Prabhu. Krishna is, it is, creation is happening And destruction is also happening at the same time. It is getting protected. Trayade Tradi Vishwalma. Atma is nothing but Atma exists. Nothing else exists. From there Atma comes. Like we mentioned before, mind, body, intelligence, ego. Everything has come out and everything goes back to the same source where it came from, which is Atma. That's what he is saying here. Atma eva tadidam vishwam. Srijyade srijyadi prabhu. Trayade Tradi Vishwalma. Kriyade Haradishwaram. Kriyade Haradishwara. And it is Atma itself getting destroyed. Atma doesn't get destroyed. All these things that come from the Atma, when they dissolves itself into the Atma, we call it as destruction. There is no other destruction. Normally, in what we say in bhakti process, we will say, oh, after 4 billion years, there will be a devastation. The whole planet will be covered in water and everything. Is it not? But then, as soon as you say this, these people, the scientists, they'll catch you on that. They will say, where is the proof that the whole planet is underwater? But because we are also presenting it in the wrong way to them, not knowing, Vedantam is very scientific. Scientific in the sense that it can tell you answer logically. Provided we accept the Vedanta principle that everything is happening. First of all, we have to accept the presence of the soul. Otherwise, all this cannot go further a step. And that, as Krishna has given enough proof of the existence of the soul in the body, and that is only due to Krishna's mercy you can come to that understanding that the soul exists. If you start questioning the existence of the soul, then you may as well call yourself a scientist or an atheist or whatever you like. But the point is, once whole Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is based on this understanding that Atmaiva, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Atmaiva, that is a very important verse. He says there that the Atmaiva tadidam vishwam srijyade srijyadi prabhu trayade tradi vishwalma hriyade haririshwara. In Atma, everything is happening. In Atma, creation happens. In Atma, it gets maintained. In Atma, it gets dissolved. So, when creation happens, what does it mean? From Atma, it comes. It stays because of the presence of Atma behind it. If Atma is not there, creation cannot exist. That is the Vedantam principle. Whereas we, in ignorance, say, so, show it to me. What is it showing? Show it to whom? Who is the person who is seeing? That is Atma. So what can you show it to Atma? From whom everything has come? So we are that Atma. Isn't it from in us? Present inside each one of us as the Antaryami. It is him who is present. So Atma eva tadidam vishwam srijyade srijyadi prabhu trayade tradi vishwalma hriyade haririshwara. And because Haridishwara, because he himself gets, everything goes back to him and dissolves, he is called Hari. He withdraws everything back to him. And therefore he is Tasman hi Atmano Anyas Adanyo Bhavo Nirubida Nirubideyam Trivida Namulam Bhadir Atmani Idam Gunamayam Vidhi Trividham Mayaya Kritam. So then he says, Tasmanna hyalpano nyasmat anyo bhavo nirubida. If you discuss anything outside Atma, it's all bogus. Says Sugar Brahmarshi says, I've spoken whole Srimad Bhagavatam to you with only one thing. There is only one topic that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Atma. Nothing else. He says, Tasmanna hyalpano anyasmat anyo bhavo nirubida. If you start discussing anything else separately from Atma, Nirubideyam Trivitha Nirmula Bhadir Atmani. If you separately discuss anything outside this Atma, that is mithya. It is false. And not only that all of those things in the Adhishthana Satta, Adhishthanam, again it means Adhishthana Satta. Adhishthana Satta is Atma. In Atma, so many things are manifesting. The world has manifested, body has manifested, ego is manifested, intelligence has manifested, mind has manifested. All these things, if you discuss separately from Atma, they have no separated existence. Because if Atma is not there, they are not there. This is Vedanta. Vedanta's principle is this. If Atma is not there, there is no thing called mind, there is no thing called intelligence, there is no thing called ego, there is no material body, there is no world either. That's what Krishna is saying here. Tasman na hyalpano anyasman, anyasman anyo bhavo nirubida. Separately, if you discuss anything, nirubideyam, trividha, nurmulam bhadir atmani, all that shining there as body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is nothing but this Atma who is shining there in all that form. Idam gunamayam vidhi trividham mayaya kridam. Why do we experience it like that? Gunamayam. Due to the three modes of material nature, we are seeing this trividham mayaya kridam. Maya has created that in front of us. Maya has created that in front of us. We will find it more interesting when we come to that chapter later. That you can see how Krishna is bringing everything together and saying to us, what exists is only Atma. And for the scientists, what exists is only the matter. Exactly opposite pole. Vedantam this direction, science in the other direction. It's never going to meet. Either they have to give up their that, what do they call, bloody-mindedness and come out of that. And come to the truth and accept what it is there. Great, great acharyas and devotees, they have followed Krishna's path. And they have found it, the truth. They realized it. Now, if they want explanation, we can't give more explanation than what Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita can give. They have to study them. There is no other way. We'll stop there today. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.